stations are tuned in too.
Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
Who do we have left? Britney Spears. Cam Kardashian. Paris Hilton. Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global.
I mean, the lines are blowing up.
/shop, S-H-O-P-P-E. Oh, look at you. All right, everybody, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Here, hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. Play was powerful. This is a no-win situation. I'll give you a call in about an hour and a half. I survived it, and I'm at the end of it.
We've been busy doing things, but it's good to be back in the air. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. We are global. We have some interesting topics today that we're going to talk about. If you'd like to come in the studio, the number is 319-527-6099. 319-527-6099. That's the number to get your voice heard around the world. We're global. I released a podcast 2 weeks ago, and I really didn't think I was going to get many hits or anything like that. You know, I did it for myself. I just wanted to do things, and it blew up. I want to thank everybody for their support. Thank you that you left the podcast. I enjoyed doing it. I'm going to do it again. The sound effects and everything I thought was great. I played it straight. It wasn't clowning. It was very, very nice. Also, I got your reviews because some of you have seen me on Zoom when we're doing our other show. And I usually play, and I know you're listening now, I usually play the bad reviews. I don't usually play the good reviews, but here's some of the things we were saying about me on Zoom and interviewing guests. Yes, I interviewed two people, and when I start doing that, we're changing up the format. So if you're an author, musician, business person, so on and so forth, you'll have the option. One, you can do the radio interview, which we've been doing. Or two, you can do the Zoom interview. Now, here's how the Zoom interview works. It'll work like a regular talk show. It's on Zoom. You can see both people, myself and the person I'm interviewing. It's a good interview. And that interview is about 15, 20 minutes. We got a couple of good rave reviews on that, and we got a couple of okay reviews on that. I got to watch my background. But that's going well, too. So you can tell we've been busy. The podcast, the new Zoom interviews. Also, other new projects that we're doing live on the air. And one good thing about the Zoom interview, like, you know how, oh God, I can't remember her name, Will Smith's wife, Jada. She did the tabletop or red tabletop diary, whatever it is. A lot of musicians are doing it now. Well, the Zoom interview with StreamYard, I can play that Zoom interview on your Facebook page. So anybody who's your friend on Facebook, you'll see the live feed in a StreamYard thing, which is really cool. So you get to, so your fans get to see who you are and your reaction and your interview. So that's going good. We did it twice. I love it. I didn't think I was, but I love it. So that's what's happening in Moving Artists Forward. I was also working, there was an independent artist about 8 years ago, God, I don't know, 6 years ago. He really, really caught my eye. I really liked this guy. Back in the day when we used to really work with musicians, we got away from that and started doing politics. We're not doing politics anymore. We're going back to how we used to be. Well, his name was Hero, H-E-R-O. And he came on a show. He's independent. I think it was the first time he ever did a radio show. And his song knocked me out. I just want to play it for you. So I worked with him a little bit because I really wanted to talk to a musician, get into their head, how can I move musicians forward. He taught me a lot about the struggles about independent artists. I really like him. So I asked him, I go, you know, he didn't have a video or anything. And I said, hey, you know what, can I play with it a little bit? So I got a song, I played with it a little bit. And it became a great music video. He thanked me, and it was great. This was got maybe 2 weeks ago, maybe. Well, I'm happy to say that he sold, as of now, I know it's not that much, but I'm shocked, 1,500 songs or downloads of that song because of the video. Here's a listen. Here's a listen to it, and we'll talk what's on our show. Well, let me tell you what's on our show. Today we're going to talk about John Gruden resigns as Raiders coach. We're going to talk about Dave Chappelle and Kim Kardashian. We're going to give her a review on SNL. Those are the topics we're going to be talking about, but there's other topics too, but those are the headlines. Now I'm going to go back to this guy. I want you to listen to a song, and we'll get to our topics. So I like to know if you like him as much as I do. I'll just play a little bit. Here it is. It's Hero. This is a song called Smile. And he's independent. Here we go.
It's 325 Music House.
Hey, baby, where you going? Where you going? Coming in my holler at you right quick. Oh, my bad. You kind of feisty, ain't you? Oh, he done made you mad? Well, can I at least get a smile from you? Just one little smile, baby. Yeah.
Just to let you know, girl,
you
know. I can make you smile.
I wanna see you smile,
you
girl.
You can come to my world. If it's been a while,
yeah.
Everything is for
you.
Show
baby.
Me you can smile. Just smile.
Just smile.
Just smile, yeah.
I wanna see you smile. I'ma take it to the moon like the Silver Surfer. Stars on my shoes, on my Converse. You know I keep it flowing like the River Jordan. Be for sure to rock the boat when we begin a boarding. And she can play the keys on my lone organ. Put her legs in the sky like she Air Jordan. She be running through my mind like a track meet. Going for the gold, the Olympian athlete. Hey, it started from a little bit of convo. And by morning I was hitting like Alonzo. On the balcony, hear the screams from a condo. Bust like a shootout, gun smoke. She has the body of a goddess, their worshiper. Like the legendary Princess Ursula. If I was God, I would build another earth for her. Travel the universe so I can search for her.
Just
smile,
to
fuck.
Let you know, girl,
let you
know, I can make you smile.
You wanna see you smile,
you
girl.
You can come to my world.
My world.
If it's been a while,
yeah.
Everything is for you.
Just for you,
show
baby.
Me you can smile. Just smile.
Just smile.
Just smile, yeah.
She looking good in them heels.
her looks were chill. I'm about to do surgery, Dr. Phil. Got me spinning like hubcaps off the wheel. I'm a deep sea diver, Navy SEAL. Wanna open up to you on what's private. Even if your license ain't good, you can drive it. Let me see your smile, sweet blush, don't hide it. When you see it up on hard, just ride it. Happy Valentine's, written on my boxers. He's out crabbing, we up in Red Lobster. He be acting, trying to get an Oscar. I be macking, smoking like a Rasta. Stop by, when I see her, it's a hug trade. She do whatever I want, like a love slave. Rose feathers on the floor when I walk in. Got her mouth wide open when I'm off in.
Just
smile.
To let you know, girl, I can make you smile.
You wanna see you smile,
you
girl.
You can come to my world.
My world.
If it's been a while,
yeah.
Everything is for you.
Just for you,
show
baby.
Me you can smile. Just smile.
Just smile.
Just smile.
As soon as I touch her, the rain starts pouring. Everything's changing, the scenery is foreign. You can call her Dora, together we're exploring. Feel good music, a whole nother origin. She wants that ice in a Kelly Rowland voice. And with one mic, I can give you intercourse. She's so hot, I can feel another fever. Baby, go ham, I'ma cut her with my cleaver. Eggs over easy, breakfast club. Another documentary, best of love. She kept me close, gave the rest a shove. Don't ask why, this is just because. I am no game, Sega Genesis. Attitude crazy, I'ma leave your premises. We can toast this like champagne dishes. President's coming, champagne kisses. Wishes,
just
smile.
Just to let you know, girl,
let you know.
I can make you smile.
How you wanna see you smile,
you
girl?
You can come to my world.
My world.
If it's been a while,
yeah.
Everything is for you.
Just for you,
show
baby.
Me you can smile. Just smile.
Just smile.
Just smile, yeah.
Just
smile for me, girl. Take that frown off your face. Just wanna see you smile, girl. See you smile, girl. Just smile. Just smile. For me.
Yeah, that's Hero. And it was good talking to him. He's coming on. And he would have the Zoom interview, so you'll be able to see him and me interview. I'm starting to work Zoom, and I'm only allowed to have 15 people or whatever. So when we do our Zoom, I always get the 30-second videotape, and I promote it on Twitter. I open up a TikTok account, and I've got a lot of people on Instagram, and I've never been on there. So I will be promoting these guys like crazy. I mean, I know I left them, but I'm back. But I'm back. So that's Hero, Smile. Hit me up, and I like this guy. I like his sound. I like what he's doing. So that's what I've been doing. It's funny, when I'm gone, I mean, I'm looking at my ratings, and they blew up. I guess it's like an artist. When you die, your paintings are more valuable. It's like, damn, I haven't been on the air in 2 weeks, and wow. They blew up. And again, I want to thank people for supporting my podcast. Okay, and some of your comments. Like I said, oh, my computer just froze. Boy. I'm going to have to do something really quickly. And that means I'm going to have to, stall a little bit until I can get this computer back up. And hopefully, okay, right now I'm into my hard drive and I'm trying to boost my computer up. And I don't have Ellen here. So you're going to hear me. So I have to get under this table. See what I can do. Let's see if that works. Now I'm not in the studio, and I cannot pause you guys. So we'll see what happens. So what I'm saying right now is that we have a new thing for what we're going to be doing for authors. The same kind of thing. They'll have the option to do audio, which is the radio, you hear it simultaneously, or you can watch the Zoom interview. And it's really cool. I didn't think I was going to like it, but I do. And if they do the Zoom interview, I'm posting that shit all over the place. All over. So, watch for interviews. And I have to wait now. for my cute computer to come back up because I'm not in the studio. I cannot pause any songs. I cannot play anything. It's just me talking to you until I get back in the studio, and my computer is up. That didn't take long. Our subject's going to be rough today. We're going to do a little bit of politics. I'm really surprised. You know, mental illness is embedded into our lives. I hate to say it. It is embedded, and I lost every freaking thing on here. Every freaking thing on here. Mental illness is embedded in our society. And instead of helping people with mental illness, I think we encourage it. Yay! Did I get everything? I think I got everything, except I'm not in the studio. Come on. Yay, I'm in the studio. Good. All right, we're back. So, you know, I know the millennials have this thing about we should help everybody, nobody left behind. But sometimes mental illness and being cuckoo is not the thing, not the route to go. And what's worrying me now is that we are taking mental illness to another level. Not only are we accepting mental illness, but we are embedding mental illness and making it law. Yes, we are. And what I mean by that is that the small minority, and we're called transgender, gay, black, whatever, because of their feelings, we want to make sure that nobody gets their feelings hurt anymore. We tend to embed, make laws so we can make sure that their feelings are not hurt. And some of these subjects that we're going to talk about is unbelievable. One such subject that pissed me off, and again, we're going to talk about John Gruden, Dave Chappelle, Kim Kardashian, that's our main topics. But the little things that we're going to talk about kind of is disturbing, and we embed it. And I really do think, in my opinion, without remorse, Donald Trump is mentally ill. He's mentally ill. And you can't deny it. It's almost like you can't protect this guy. His mental illness is just out there. Let me take you back to this insurrection, storming the Capitol. I'm tired of it, too. I used to be a news junkie, and I cannot even watch CNN anymore or any of those news shows. It's like, okay, you're telling me everything bad about Donald Trump. Guess what? Lock his ass up. If you're not going to lock his – I get it. He's a bad guy. I get it. He's dumb. I get it. I don't need to hear more stories about what he did as a kid or what he did to his brother or his dumb kids. What I get it. Don't hold any hearings about this guy, Steve Bannon. What I get it. Just let me know when you arrest the people. That's when it's news. Other than that, just gossiping about people, it's boring, it's stupid, and just pisses you off. Well, here's one thing that really pissed me off, and I'm trying to ignore it. I'm trying to be good, but I can't let this go. We're doing this insurrection thing. You all saw it. Well, they were banging down this door where the Congress, the House. And they were telling people, get away from the door, get away from the door. So this woman, her name is Ashley Babbitt. She was one of them. So as they were banging down the door, the people on the other side were threatened. Trust me, cops have killed for far less than what that was going on. And when you hear words like let's hang Mike Pence, let's put a bullet through Pelosi's head, and let's get Congress and let's overthrow the government, and you're on the other side of the door, you get a little concerned about your own safety. I get it. So they're banging down the door, and they break this window. And then Ashley Babbitt stuck her face through the window. The Capitol Police said, stop, stop. halt, whatever. She stuck her face through the window as she was trying to climb through, and one of the Capitol policemen shot her. Just shot her. Killed her. Killed her. Her life is gone. Her family's family members never be the same. Her life was ended. Her life is ended. It's like a movie. You know, when you see a movie, that's what happens. Opening scene, that's what happens. She gets shot. She's laying there, and you see the camera hovering over her. And then you see the word 3 hours before or 2 days before. And she served in the military. She did service to her country. Now, what caused this woman, who is a soldier, served our country, fought for our country, to go through there and try to stop the certification of the President of the United States? What got into her head? And we know what got into her head. Donald Trump got into all of their heads. He wanted to stop the certification. Cool. Okay? So she got shot. Lying there dead. Who caused it? In my opinion, Donald Trump did. Who got them excited? Donald Trump did. Who convinced them that somebody stole something from them like a child? Donald Trump did. This is a woman who joined the military and served our country. And you would have to ask yourself, if Donald Trump didn't have that rally or that speech before the certification, would this ever happen? No, it wouldn't. Nobody would be there. Why would she be there? If I remember right, was she from California? I don't know. I'm sure she was not from, I think she was from Orange County, California, if I'm not mistaken. She had no reason to be there. But she wanted to be there for Donald Trump. So in my opinion, Donald Trump is the cause of this woman's death. Yes. There's no mistaking it. If he would have had a peaceful rally, none of this would have happened. If he would, and we'll go back to the mental illness again, where we're thinking, we used to feel sorry for people with mental illness, we'd give them the help they need, but now with this culture that we have, we try to protect them. Not only do we protect them, but we put them in laws so they don't get harmed or bullied, and it's really destroying our society. So when you got a mental giant like Donald Trump telling people it's a steal and stop the steal and let's march down there, and he's watching it and laughing and wondering why his people are not enjoying this, he doesn't really fully understand his own actions. He really doesn't. He doesn't. So what upset me? What upset me is that he's calling her a patriot. Okay. In the military? Okay. I'll give him that. But being a patriot for rioting in the Capitol, busting through the Capitol's doors, is she really a patriot? Or would she go down as being the biggest traitor of the world? Which she was. She was a traitor. She was a traitor to this country. Now, you're going to say that's a little harsh, but you always have to put yourself into those shoes. If somebody comes busting through your house and they're saying they're going to kill your family, kill your daughter, kill your dog, you don't know who they are. They're just busting through your house. I guarantee you, if you're in Texas, Oklahoma, New Mexico, Arizona, and if it's a carry law, you're shooting them. And you found out that the guy who busted through your house was, he gives to charity, or he got a new wing for orphans or whatever. It doesn't really matter. Your life was threatened. You broke the law. You did it. You were a traitor. You lost your life. Done. And this is what I'm trying to say. So Donald Trump has no sympathy, no empathy. He can't feel. He's a sociopath. This family lost this woman. What did Donald Trump do? He sent her a video. I'm not kidding. Here's the headline. It's from Newsweek. Donald Trump sends birthday video demanding justice for Ashley Babbitt over January 6th death. There's four other people who died too, Donald Trump. But you send a birthday. So you want to make her a martyr. So you can raise money. I understand, Donald Trump. There's a cause. I understand, Donald Trump. But you're not taking any blame about her getting killed over your words. I understand that. So you're going to tear the family's wounds open again. And he did this a day ago. Copy. Former President Donald Trump praised the woman who was shot and killed during the January 6th riot at the Capitol as truly an incredible person. He doesn't even know this person, but she's incredible. He could not pick her up from her. She is so incredible. She's an incredible person. Incredible. So he sent a video message played at a memorial event on what would have been her 36th birthday. The family's still mourning. She stormed the Capitol while he was still a sitting president. She stuck her face through the window. The Capitol police said, no, stop, stop, stop. And she got shot, but Donald Trump calls her incredible. Trump ensured a message of support for Ashley Babbitt. She was an Air Force veteran and an advocate of the QAnon conspiracy theory. There you go. There you go. Anybody who believes in any QAnon theory or conspiracy theory, it's a nutcase. I don't care who they are. They're crazy. They're nuts. They don't belong on this planet. They really don't, as far as I'm concerned. But again, mental illness. You know, these people with QAnon, they don't even know who their leader is. And it's almost like Black Lives Matter. And listen to me before I do it. You don't know who the leader is. You don't know the rules of engagement. You don't know what it stands for. You don't know what their motto is. You take a slogan and then you just give it your own idea of what it is. QAnon people and the conspiracy thinking people are not well. They're not well. And that's when we go with the mental illness. We talk to them. We kind of agree with them and we make them feel like their stupid theories are part of our society. And then later we just shake our heads going, does this person really walk among us? And how come there's no medication? And it's hard for them to get medication because they don't know they're mentally ill. They don't know it. And she's in the Air Force. Now, being in the Air Force, you got to be intelligent. I mean, you can't be a dummy. But again, she's human. So she's an advocate of the QAnon conspiracy theory while calling for the Department of Justice to reopen an investigation into her shooting by the Capitol Police officer Michael Byrd. That's Trump's message. The clip of Trump addressing a small crowd at a Texas Loves. This guy has the nerve to go to this function. Texas Loves Ashley Babbitt. No empathy. A sociopath, mentally ill, son of a bitch, that caused this, that took this woman from this planet and inflict great pain on her parents, friends, and loved ones. This guy, had the nerve why their parents and the open wound that they're doing, because this didn't happen too long ago, decided to address a small crowd for Texas Love, Ashley Babbitt. I got a feeling she's from California. Why do I think she's from California? I don't know. This event was on Sunday. It was posted on Twitter by News to Share, Ford Fisher, who live-streamed the entire ceremony. Former President Trump spoke at Ashley Babbitt's birthday via pre-recorded video. Her memory will live on in our hearts for all time. There was no reason Ashley should have lost her life that day. No reason. Again, mental illness. See, you're not, if you're mentally ill, you don't think you're mentally ill. You think you make sense. And if you believe what, the craziness that you're saying, other people will believe it if you say it more long enough. This is what this motherfucker telling her parents why they're still grieving. What's going on? Donald Trump. There was no reason Ashley should have lost her life that day. We must all demand justice for Ashley and her family, Trump said. What does that mean? Demand justice. Does she live at the Capitol building? Was she invited to the Capitol building? Did she have a weapon at the Capitol building? Or did she break in the Capitol building and try to get through the doors, which is breaking any of the law, I know, or very least trespassing? The video is still spinning. I wish I can really play it for you, but here's Donald Trump's voice. To Ashley's family and friends, please know that her memory will live in our hearts for all time. Trump already forgot about this one. He forgot about her, and you know he did. To do this to Ashley's family is just unbelievable. Ashley served our country in the United States Air Force for 14 years, where she was a Security Force Airman and eventually went on to achieve the rank of Senior Airman. She defended our nation overseas, including Iraq, to fight in the War on Terror. So she survived that. She survived Iraq, War on Terror. But as soon as you sent her to her own capital, she got shot by her own people on her own American soil. Thanks to you, Donald Trump. You killed her. And you did. You won't feel it because you don't know what you did. You don't understand what you did. But you killed four or five people that night, and you won't understand it. And I'm not happy with the Democrats. And I am a Democrat. The Democrats are very weak, scared little pussies. They disgust me how weak they are. No backbone, no nothing. And Biden is getting to a point where he's disgusting me too. Grab some balls, man. Start bringing these people in. Even Bannon says, I'm not answering your subpoena. Fuck you. Arrest them. What the fuck's wrong with the Biden administration? If you really want justice, if you want justice for Ashley, you'll bring in Donald Trump. You make him answer questions so he can realize what he did to this family and to this woman. Because I really don't believe he understands what he did. Even a serial killer will justify what he's doing. I don't think this guy is mentally ill. I don't think he fully understands what he did or what happened. I don't. On that horrible day of January 6th, again, according to Donald Trump, Ashley arrived at the United States Capitol. She was shot and tragically killed. Today would have been her birthday. Ashley, okay, you like to spin? She arrived at the United States Capitol? No. She stormed the United States Capitol. That's not sugarcoat what she did. She was a traitor to the United States of America. She tried to storm the Capitol of the United States to stop a certification of the United States president. She betrayed her country. That's who she was, a traitor. She got shot. Okay. We got to quit sugarcoating this bullshit. This is what she did. She tried to stop the certification of the United States president. She broke in, was part of a mob that wanted to hang Mike Pence and put a bullet in Pelosi's head and try to break down a door where they were sitting law. Congressman, and I think it was just congressman. And she got shot. That's who she was. She's a traitor of the United States of America. Is that too harsh? Well, I'm sorry. Because, see, if we don't start thinking reality here, we start losing ourselves with the conspiracy theories, We start losing ourselves with the stupid spin that Donald Trump still thinks he's president of the United States, but the Capitol is in Mar-a-Lago. We start believing lizard people are running around, and there's a cabal in Hollywood. We got to start thinking back in reality, what she did, who she did, and what did she do it for. Donald Trump's not going to take any responsibility of her death, and we know he caused it. He has blood on his hands, everybody around him. See, Donald Trump's an idiot, and I'm going to tell you why he's an idiot. And again, we're going to go over our subject. This is a side thing. Don't let the news fool you. Donald Trump is coming back. Donald Trump's running for 2024. Donald Trump went to Iowa. Uh-oh, Donald Trump. This is all news bullshit. Don't listen to it. Going back to Melania, who says, I don't want to go through this again. I don't care about this. I will never go back to Washington. Donald does his own thing. I do my thing. She's not even with him on this. He's trolling you. That's from Melania. She is not interested in being the first lady. She doesn't want to be the first lady. Donald Trump is trolling you guys, and the news are part of it. They need the ratings. So what's he going to do, divorce Melania, get another first lady that's a puppet that'll support him? That'll look good with the indictments. I say this, Donald Trump, you're an idiot. Because if you do run in 2024, the same thing happens. Do you think Biden won by $74 million? They were just Democrats? A lot of Republicans went behind that curtain, and they voted Democratic. Because of you. You asked a question, Donald Trump, one time. It's like, I think the election was stolen. How could it be? How could these Republicans be elected and I've been defeated? It doesn't make sense. Yes, it does make sense. Because when they get behind the curtain, I knew this was going to happen. Everybody knew this was going to happen. As soon as they shut that curtain, a lot of Republicans voted Democrat. They think you're nuts. And that's the same thing that's going to happen if you run for 24. I say run you. You lost a popular vote 2016. The people don't like you. The second time, you even lost electoral votes. They don't like you and the popular vote. So let's run the loser for a third time. I'm for it. I'm for it. I'm 100% for it. Nobody's afraid of Donald Trump. Only the Republicans. And the older Republicans, by the way. There's a new resurging Republican base that's coming up. They're coming up. If you look at who's kissing Donald Trump's ass, it's the old farts who are over 80 years old, who's out of touch. They think Facebook is a fax machine. The younger Republicans are saying, whoa. So I'm for it. Run Donald Trump in 2024. That would make me happy. That would make me very happy. Three times a loser is pretty damn good because Republicans, when they get behind closed door and behind that curtain, they're not voting for Trump. They proved it twice. They don't like him. Going back to this, So the grieving parents are still grieving. The wound is still open. It's still bleeding. They lost a daughter. Donald Trump decides to use her as a political toy and a tool. And then he continues, there is no reason Ashley should have lost her life that day. Again, we're getting to the mental illness part, the denial part, the confusion part. Have you been around anybody who's mentally ill? You kind of enable them, baby them. They think they're doing it right. This is out of his own words. There's no reason Ashley should have lost her life. Yes, there was a reason. I go back to if you're in your home, somebody trying to break through and threaten to kill your family, what are you going to do? You got to open up the door, have a sit down with them? You wouldn't get past a yard. Donald Trump, again, mental illness, this is how they think. We must all demand justice for our family. You want justice? Arrest Donald Trump. This is how stupid he is. Now, he sent this video on her birthday to her family. Yes, we should get justice for her, for Ashley and her family. Trump added, arrest Donald Trump. Put him in front of Congress. Let him answer some questions. And you can actually see the mental retardation that this person has or the mental illness that he has. Yes, I say you're right, Donald Trump. We need justice. So why don't you appear before Congress, explain to them the investigation you would like to look into, Ashley, and why you think Ashley should get justice. But you won't do it because you're a coward. You won't answer questions. You won't go. In fact, you're such a coward, Donald Trump, that you begged Biden for immunity, but yet you're telling Bannon and everybody else, don't answer the subpoena. Again. We're so confused about what is right, what is wrong, and the conspiracy theories and blah, blah, blah. We lose track on reality, and reality is strong, reality is ugly, reality is cruel, but we need to keep reality where it is. We do. And that's what all of our subject is today. So on this solemn occasion, Donald Trump, as we celebrate her life, we renew our calls for a fair and non-partial investigation into the death of Ashley Babbitt. You're absolutely right. We should investigate her death. I agree with him. I agree. Let's start calling witnesses. Let's start calling people who know her, who was there at the Capitol. Let's call Donald Trump in. You're absolutely right. And if you're really serious about this, Donald Trump, you would be the first one to contact your friends, your Republican friends in Congress and say, let's have an investigation. Let me speak. You're a former president. I'll let you speak. And tell the Senate and tell the Congress, tell the House why and how should the investigation. In fact, why don't you appoint some of your Republican cowards, friends, colleagues, and tell them to do an investigation on Ashley Babbitt. They should do that. I'm for that. You're absolutely right. Let them run the investigation on her. Why she got shot? Why was she there? What made her go to the Capitol? Why did she stuck her fat face into that window? And she got blown away. Why she's a traitor to this country? Why her family would be disgraced? And why Donald Trump is doing this on her birthday? Let's open that wound. We might as well rip her family apart, right, Donald Trump? Because if you're calling for an investigation, she's already dead. We might as well go to the family for your political gain. Go after them, right, Donald Trump? I'm 100% for it. Let's open up that investigation. Let's get a committee. And why don't you, as a former president, speak on behalf of that committee? Otherwise, this is just words. Donald Trump. So on this solemn occasion, as we celebrate her life, we renew our calls. You think really Donald Trump wrote this? Donald Trump speaks like a 3-year-old. You really think Donald Trump wrote this at all? You can tell he didn't write it because there's no sniffing in between lines. But again, so on this solemn occasion, as we celebrate her life, we renew our calls for a fair and nonpartisan investigation into the death of Ashley Babbitt. I'm for it. I offer my unwavering. You think Donald Trump knows what unwavering is? You think he understands what the is? But let's go on with this nonsense because this is his official statement. I offer my unwavering support to Ashley's family and all on the Department of Justice to reopen its investigation into her death on January 6th. All Americans deserve a fair process. Really? When did that happen? All Americans deserve a fair process? Huh. Takes me back to George Floyd, Black Lives Matter, Antifa. Oh, I forgot. The racist who ran over that girl, they were right on both sides. I don't think she got fair. This is making me sick, but I'll get through this. Again, mentally ill people. Mentally ill people. He's reading, folks. He doesn't even understand what he's reading. Somebody said this to him, and Trump does this a lot. He doesn't understand what he's reading. They said, read this, Mr. Ex-President. It'll be good. Okay, I read. In April, the DOJ confirmed they would not be pursuing criminal charges against Byrd over the shooting of Babbitt as rioters attempted to break through a glass door separating a hallway from the speaker's lobby and chamber. The investigation revealed no evidence to establish that at this time. The officer fired a single shot at Ms. Babbitt. The officer did not reasonably believe it was necessary to do so in self-defense. The investigation revealed no evidence to establish that there was any wrongdoing. At the time, the officer fired a single shot at Ms. Babbitt. The officer did not reasonably believe that it was necessary to do so in self-defense or in defense of the members of Congress and other evacuating the House chamber, the DOJ said. Okay, done. Donald Trump knows this. But let's use this woman and her dead body and her family for his little headline trolling. He's just trolling. He knows nothing. He knows everything. He knows nothing's going to be done. He was trolling. And that's why our headlines today, we have John Gruden resigns as Raiders coach, Dave Chappelle, oh boy, Kim Kardashian on SNL. It all runs in a theme. We're talking people who are reacting and the little minorities of mentally ill people, cuckoo people, are the major voice of our society, and we have to help them. Comfort them. The risk of everybody else losing their jobs, losing their homes, and losing their rights. John Gruden resigned as Raiders head coach over offensive emails. What did Dave Chappelle say? And here's why the comedian's in hot water. We're going to talk about that. Kim Kardashian, she was on SNL last week. I don't know if you saw it. She made her debut. You know, actually, it boosted ratings despite the backlash over her hosting. And get this. There are people who didn't want her to host. Fans threatening to boycott the episode. Boycott the episode. Whatever happened, it just changed the channel. If you don't like it, she's hosting. What happens to just change the frickin' channel? We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about my connection with the Raiders. We're going to talk about women in sports complaining over something not necessary but getting people fired. Then there's the other side where there's a husband and wife team. They were ballet teachers, I guess, and they were molesting the dancers. All this when we come back. You're listening to Hammer Radio Network. I am Brian Hammer Jackson. And again, if you'd like to come in the studio, I'm here. But, you know, it's time to go back to reality. Enough with the conspiracy theories. Enough of, you know, kind of humanizing the QAnon people. Enough. Enough with this bullshit. We got to go back to reality. Enough. 319-527-6099. That's the number. That's the number. That's the number to get you in the studio. That's the number to get your voice heard. I'd like to hear what you have to say. Again, I want to thank you for the ratings of my podcast. Thank you so much on murder. Thank you. I didn't know how well it was going to be received, but it's received well. I want to thank you for the comments about my Zoom interviews. I did too. Thank you. I want to thank Hero, who is an independent music artist for us, our conversation on the phone, working with him. I put together a really nice video for him to make me understand how I can move independent artists forward. I appreciate him on doing that. That's how what we used to do. That's what we used to do. All right, if you can come in the studio, come in the studio. If not, we're going to talk about those subjects. We're going to talk about John Gruden, Dave Chappelle, and Kim Kardashian. We'll be right back.
And the winner is MC Hammer.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. My music hits me so hard, makes me say, oh my Lord, thank you for blessing me. What am I to rhyme and too hype me to feel good when you know you're down? A super dope homeboy from the Oak Town, and I'm known as such, and this is a beat you can't touch. I told you, homeboy, you can't touch this. Yeah, that's how we living, and you know you can't touch this. Look at my eyes, man, you can't touch this. Fresh new kicks and pants, you got it like that. Now you know you wanna dance, so move out of your seat and get a fire girl and check this beat while it's rolling. Hold on, pump a little bit and let the noise go on like that, like that. Pull a little bit, just fall on back. Let them know that you're too much, and this is a beat they can't touch. Yo, I told you, you can't touch this. Why you standing there, man? You can't touch this. Yo, sound the bell, school is in, sucker. You can't touch this. Give me a song, a rhythm, making them sweat. That's what I'm giving them now. They know, you're talking about the hammer, you're talking about a show that's hot and tight. Think about sweating so fast from a white or a tape. To learn, what's it gonna take in the 90s to burn the chart? Legit, either work hard or you might as well quit. That word, because you know, you can't touch this. You can't touch this. Break it down. This. Look, man, you can't touch this. You better get a hype, boy, because you know you can't touch this. Ring the bell, school's back in. Break it down. Stop. Have a time. Yo, hammer, and the rest can't go in play. Can't touch this.
show. And he has a King Web in his studio. And I'm going to start our show. All right, everybody. You're listening to Hammer Radio Network. I'm Brian the Hammer Jackson. And Mr. King Web. Hey, what up, my friend? How you doing? King? Okay. All right, I'm going to leave your mic open, King, because when King's in the studio, he also does a lot of business things, and I guess he wants to listen, and I'll just leave the mic open. Our main subject today, Gruden resigns as Raider coach. This is kind of personal to me, my connection with the Raiders. I have a family connection with the Raiders. There's a YouTube video called When We Were Legends, I guess. I'm old school Raider. My connection is that my cousin played for the Oakland Raiders for a while. His name is George Atkinson. And if you're old school Raider, you'll know the name George Atkinson, Jack Tatum, Kenny Stabler, Fred Benifikoff. I mean, we can go on and on and on. That's when the Raiders were Raiders. In fact, a pseudo, I think he's pseudo because I don't think it was legal, but they say, and I don't think it's true, but Jack Tatum is my godfather, whatever. I doubt it. But anyway, this is how far I go with the Raiders. I love Raiders. I love Mike Davis. I love Davis. Just win, baby. Just win. Commitment to excellent. I mean, who doesn't like that? I went to the Super Bowl when they played Minnesota. It was here in L.A. I went to the Super Bowl party. Here's a little bit about Raiders. Let me give you a hit. And it goes into John Gruden, but you got to know the history first of who the Raiders were, who they are. They were the most feared team in the NFL. Here's a little bit something about the Raiders. They were the dirtiest players. My cousin was one of them. Jack Tatum was one of them. Lyle Alzado was one of them. They were feared, man. So you got to know the history of the Raiders. And here we go. It says, people don't remember Lyle Alzado. He was the most feared Raider ever. Man, Alzado played with rage that some deemed uncontrollable. That's what he played with.
People can portray me any way they want because I don't give a damn. I am what I am. And until those people touch me close enough, they'll never know what I am. If they want to see me in this interview or in a newspaper article and say, what's the matter with this guy, let them say it. But don't you analyze me and don't you tell me what I am until you get close enough to understand what I am.
That's the Raider way. That's the Raider way. We talk about how soft we got, how marshmallow we got, how pussy we got. And these words offend you. Pussy, coward. These words offend you. Gay, straight, fag, queer. These words offend you. When you're on that football field, if any of you played, even high school, at any given moment, you know that you could come out with an injury that can destroy your life, paralyzed, being crippled. It can destroy you at any moment. You're not in that locker room before the game and you're saying, don't forget to shake their hands, invite them to your Christmas party, the other team, and give them a pat on the booty and say, what a good game. You're not. If you've been in any kind of organized sports, I even dare to say Little League, Your main goal as a football player is to destroy the other person. There's nothing nice about it. Take the other person down as fast as you can. Run over him, break him, get him out of the game. In fact, years ago when sports was going on, they used to have bounties. They used to pay players extra if they hurt the other player. This is the game. This is blood sport. It's nothing about niceness. Where the sport went wrong is when they wanted to get the women audience. Cradell and this stupid idea, like, we need more women watching the game. So what they did was they changed the uniform. They took away the big bulky pads and the saggy-ass shorts, and they slimmed them down, and they look like the Saints. Do you ever see the Saints? Like, they got little spandex so you can see the player's booty. They tightened up the uniform. They made it more sexy so women can enjoy the sport. And then after that, that was the beginning of the change. And then you can't hit them below here. You can't hit them below there. You get the quarterback. They blow the whistle. For a while, you couldn't even celebrate a touchdown. Remember that? And they just brought that back 2 years ago because they wanted the women audience, and they fucked up the sport. But if you remember going back to the Raiders, the most feared team in NFL, and they were feared, and my cousin was part of it. But to listen to how the Raiders were back then, you got to really listen to it. And you get an idea of who the Raiders were.
People can portray me any way they want because I don't give a damn. I am what I am. And until those people touch me close enough, they'll never know what I am. If they want to see me in this interview or in a newspaper article and say, what's the matter with this guy? Let them say it. But don't you analyze me and don't you tell me what I am until you get close enough to understand what I am. Then you can make an analysis of me. But don't you dare do it until then.
It was easy to get the wrong impression of Lyle Alzado.
Look out! Lyle Alzado getting involved with a couple of Broncos.
For 15 seasons, with the Denver Broncos, the Cleveland Browns, and the Los Angeles Raiders, he was a human volcano, always primed to erupt.
Plays football with the berserk fury of a trapped water buffalo. He sees himself surrounded by evil. He howls at injustice. He's not a defensive end. He's an archangel.
Put your helmet back on. Don't you know that Alzado has a left hook?
Mad, crazy.
Talk about street fighters. That's how he would describe himself.
When he walked in between those white lines, you were prey.
Alzado comes in, head flat. That'll get you a penalty right there if the official sees it.
He was about the rage.
Go, Sando!
Watch him, he's giving him everything he has. He's clubbing spaceman, grab anything. There goes Alzado.
Yep, look out.
Well, of course, I play a violent game. And anybody who tells me that they go out there to have fun playing football, they're a liar. Because this game isn't fun. This game is a war.
That's right. And you pussies out there think that this game is about commercial and everything. This is not LeBron. This is not LeBron's Lakers who turned pussy on us. This is football. It's a blood sport. It's war. These men go out there, and let me tell you something. If you survive college, and nobody survives college without an injury, so by the time you get to pro, you're already injured. You have some disability. You have some operation you already had that most men will lay up and collect unemployment for years. That's before you hit pro. The average football player's lifespan is maybe 4 years, I think less. And if they come out halfway decent without some kind of CT brain disorder or some kind of physical limitation, you're halfway there. You're maybe doing okay. Because by the time they come out, if they're 30, they have the body of a 90-year-old. And not a healthy 90-year-old at that, and I'm not even joking. It's a blood sport. And you heard it from Lyle Alzado. It's war. And you're right. When I played, it wasn't fun. Man, it wasn't fun. I mean, I wish I could have been a defensive player. I was a running back. My job was to get hit all the time and to run my ass so I wouldn't get hit that often. But Lyle said it best. Anybody who plays the sport, even high schoolers, will have this attitude.
And anybody who tells me that they go out there to have fun playing football, they're a liar. Because this game isn't fun. This game is a war.
His teammates rarely saw. He's one of the few men in the NFL who has achieved the destruction of a training machine.
I broke it.
You know the way you see somebody who's...
Lyle Alzado was a killer. He was a rage. He was a raging machine on the field. He would take you down. Raider way. This is the Raider way.
Really angry. And that anger goes to the point where it's out of control. He's not able to control that anger.
Don't be beating on the guy's head. You can't hurt him. You're not going to hurt you guys.
I have been. He was relentless. He was all out on every play. He never quit. He was always after the quarterback. I grew up in Brooklyn, being in jail and getting into street fights. And I don't particularly think there's a person on this earth that can kick my ass. And I'm out there to prove just that. Probably the greatest heavyweight that ever lived, and if you think I'm going to go in the ring and get embarrassed, I'm not going to have that happen. And I'm not bragging or saying that I'm going to beat him, but I'm going to hold my own.
How do the Broncos feel about one of their most valuable properties in the ring with a heavyweight champion?
This will be bigger than all his games put together. Japan selling Santa Cruz in. You will have a worldwide whooping.
How the hell are you coming to me?
Here we go with round one, ringside at Mile High Stadium in Denver. Lyle Alzado fighting in part to fulfill a lifelong dream and in part for charity.
As the fight went on,
the crowd reacts with every punch that Alzado throws.
And Lyle was doing well, because Ali was letting him do well.
He is now starting to taunt Ali, and the crowd loves it.
It was insane. Here is the heavyweight champion of the world, and Lyle's in there trying to fight. Nobody says it's a serious fight in an exhibition, but those are serious punches being thrown.
It picked the tempo up considerably here in the early seconds of round two.
The cameras were on, and the lights were bright. He was going to knock him out.
We can now say that he was the first man to sack Joe Namath and Mount Palmer.
In 1983, when Return of the Jedi ruled the box office, Darth Vader led his second team to the promised land. But entering Super Bowl 18, the biggest news story wasn't Alzado's return to prominence. It was 3 Mile Lyle's threat to decapitate Joe Theismann.
Joe Theismann and I were in the superstars together. He's a great athlete, and if I get a chance in the game to tear his head off, I'll do that.
Last Sunday, the Los Angeles Coliseum looked more like the Roman Coliseum.
You guys came in early. You had like two penalties and a couple fights and everything, all in the first 3 minutes. Is that part of...
Well, that's not any different than what we usually do.
He had great threats.
he was a great threatener. You know, I'll kill you out in the parking lot in front of your family, you know, that kind of thing.
I'll kill you and everything you love. I'll beat you so bad your family won't speak to you.
Talking about how he was going to tear people's necks off and spit down their throats.
Threw the helmet. God bless, that was back that almost, you know, missed me by about a foot.
What are you throwing a flag for?
Bad enough to take it off and stand dead, but then to throw it at him after he's uncovered, that seems a bit malicious.
What about Chris Ward? What happened?
I don't like Chris Ward. He's a big mouth, he's a hot dog, he runs his mouth, and if I had a chance to have him swallow his helmet, I'd have done it.
Lyle Alzado had always relished playing the villain. But in the final act of his football life, Darth Vader chose to do something heroic.
This is Lyle Alzado today, over 60 pounds lighter and struggling just to walk.
Looking at myself now, I'm half the man I was. You know, the big, massive guy that I was. It was all... I hate to admit this, but it was all phony.
How long were you on steroids?
Most of my pro career. You know, I played 16 years. And it got me where I wanted, but also got me very sick.
See, that's being a Raider. That's a Raider. And we're going to talk about Gruden. But before we talk about Gruden, you got to understand... being a Raider. And where we are right now. This is my cousin, George Atkinson, being a Raider.
Do you want to know why more and more people are...
And the reason I know this, because even as a child, being in the locker room and seeing this man, I never seen this. This man was a giant of a man. I never see a man... so big in my life. He was John Madden, when I met John Madden, when I was in the locker room. And to hear John Madden talk, just regular talk. He didn't care if you were a kid or, and I was a kid. He didn't care anybody. John Madden was all business. Just win, baby. He was rough, and John Madden loved rough. He loved guys. He wanted guys to hit. He wanted guys to... they knock the shit out of other guys. When you're in a locker room, John Madden was not afraid to say, fuck, get your goddamn head out of your goddamn ass, get your fucking ass out. It was football. Raiders. That's what it was. This is my cousin, George Atkinson, with the Raiders. And George became my hero growing up. And he even named his kid after me. And he's going to be a guest on our show soon. And I wanted to talk and had him talk about what's happened with Gruden. But here we go. George Atkinson, my cousin.
That's right. You in the middle. You set the tone.
The Bengals' Paul Robinson, number 18, was a world-class hurdler. But the man motoring in pursuit was the Raiders' George Atkinson, number 43, who turns most races into mismatches.
We viewed receivers as burglars breaking into your house. So if you catch a burglar breaking into your house, he pays the consequences.
Get hit hard, and you're going to get hit consistently.
we wanted to leave them with an impression that, hey, this is not a contact sport. This is a collision sport, and that's what we did. We made collisions with wide receivers.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he speaks along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
George Atkinson was the culprit this time, except that Atkinson outdid his teammates by being hit with two penalties on the same play.
I mean, they wanted to say the Raiders are dirty. Yeah, we're dirty. Yeah. What are you going to do about it?
Dislike that the Raiders and the Steelers have for one another. Today he filed a $3 million lawsuit against the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Oakland Tribune, and Pittsburgh coach Chuck Knoll. This all dates back to a controversial play involving him and Lynn Swann.
The Raiders and the Steelers, if you didn't come out of that game with a few stitches, you didn't play. And I just love that about their rivalry.
I jumped him, you know. I thought, here it is.
Some type of malice.
And if he don't want to get hit, his best bet is not to show up when we play Sunday, because I guarantee he will get hit.
I think George has proven himself and what kind of a person he is as far as his play on the field.
By George Atkinson.
Well, there you go.
That's the Raiders way.
No team could deny these Raiders their place in the sun.
The Super Bowl really exists for the Oakland Raiders. All along, they've been thinking it was somebody's crazy illusion. The field is being engulfed by humanity. Time has run out. The Oakland Raiders have made it to the Super Bowl.
Crazy time. Crazy time. Crazy time. That's who the Raiders were. So for John Gruden to get fired over this, it is just unbelievable. It is unbelievable. And it's just the world we live in. John Gruden resigns as Raiders coach after more emails surface. A couple of weeks ago, John Gruden was finally paying off for the Las Vegas Raiders. His team was 3-0. He had a 10-year, $100 million contract. Nobody could ever guess that 2 weeks later, Gruden would he'll be done. He'll be done as the Raiders head coach because of emails spanning over 10 years. And these emails revealed ugly, racist, anti-gay, and misogynistic comments. Oh, my. On Monday night, less than an hour after the New York Times reported that Gruden has sent emails that contain disturbing comments. My God, he's a Raider. What disturbing? Oh, my God. Okay. Gruden, I have resigned as head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. I love the Raiders. I do not want this distraction. Thank you to all the players, coach, staff, and fans of the Raider Nation. I'm sorry. I never meant to hurt anyone. That was Gruden's statement. He sent a statement to Mark Davis, Al Davis' son. Just win, baby. Commitment to excellence. He accepted Gruden's resignation. Rich will be the interim head coach, according to ESPN. What did Gruden say that was so horrible that made him resign? That was so horrible as a Raider that made him quit the Raiders. Gruden loved the Raiders. Gruden was a Raider. Gruden was a Raider, was a player Raider coach. Gruden was from the old school of Raiders. Not the pussy Raiders. Last week, as part of the investigation into a misogynistic culture of the Washington football team, an email Gruden sent to the Washington team, to the president, Bruce Allen, it was leaked. Well, in it, Gruden said of the NFLPA that Demaurice Smith, Gruden called him Dumb Boris Smith, has lips of the size of a Michelin tire. That's what he said. He had big lips. The lips were the size of a tire. He said that. That's what he said. And that's all he said. Hey, King, what's up? Let me see if King's there. King?
Hey, good morning, Brian. How you doing this morning? Good.
I'm doing good, man. How you doing, King?
Oh, man, I just been trying to keep my head above the water, you know. Everything's going pretty good, you know. I really just can't complain, you know. You know, I'll be starting my new job next Monday. So I'll be on call. So if any of the schools need an extra hand or whatever, you know, I'll be able to go there. And then also
– glad to hear it.
Oh, yeah. Then also I'll be putting my son in football, you know. And I was on earlier listening to you, and I had to get off and answer a call.
I understand.
But, yeah, I was listening to you talk about football and everything. And, you know, me and my son, you know, we all went grocery shopping last Saturday. And I didn't get a lot of stuff, you know. But as we were at the big Walmart, we were shopping.
Right.
This black guy came up to me and my son. And he asked me, he said, excuse me, he said, you know, does your son play football? And I said, yeah. I said, you know, he would like to, you know. So, you know, I know he plays at a school. And so he was like, you know, he looked like he could run pretty fast. And he was like, would he like to be on my team? And he was like, you know, we're one of the championship teams in Phoenix right now. And I said, oh, really? And so I told him, I said, you know, give me a business card, a phone number, and I can, you know, reach back out to you. And so I reached out to him yesterday to let him know that my son does want to play. And so
really?
I'm waiting for him to call me back and go from there, you know, and then do that. And so and then I finally got everything. Finally got everything taken care of with these damn taxes and shit. So I'm hoping I get my payout this month. Then I can go shopping, and then I'll be able to call you and say, "Hey, man, I'm on my way to Cali."
Oh, you better, man.
So yeah,
you better. You
oh,
and I
yeah.
got a car trip.
Oh heck yeah.
You and I, we
yeah.
got a road trip.
Yeah.
Me and you.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
gonna take you.
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna take you to places. I'm going to take you to places where you cannot mention on the air. And I'm going to take you places where you're going to be ashamed of yourself.
No.
That you
yeah.
We're
but
going
you know,
to...
I told the kids, I said, this year and last year was rough. I said, so I really didn't expect for anything to happen overnight, you know. I said, but now God is getting ready to bless us. And so, you know, I told him, I said, we'll be able to go to Cali and have some fun, you know, and. You know, so, but everything's going good, you know what I mean? Everything's going good. Now that I got most of that stuff off my shoulders, now I can pretty much focus on writing music and stuff, you know? I don't know about anybody else out there, but I can't write when I'm dealing with a lot of personal things and just bullshit, period. You know, I can't write. You know, I normally get a writer's block, but now I'll be able to focus on my writing and get some new songs out, you know what I mean? I got to... quite a bit of things lined up, and you know, everybody's been very supportive of me right now, you know, and told everybody I just been focusing and just getting things taken care of, you know. So but yeah, everything's going really good though. How you been doing?
I'm glad. I've been busy. I've been doing a podcast, and the podcast seemed to go really well. Regarding real life murders. I did a couple of live stream interviews just to test it. I got good reviews on that.
That's good.
I talked to Hero. I know you've been busy. Hero was one of the independent artists I made a promise to before you came on. Maybe 5 years, just before you came on. I made a promise to him, and I don't like to break promises.
Back
in the day, I was known to move artists forward. I got away from that. I started talking about politics shit. And I broke my promise to him. I got back in touch with him because I felt really bad. And he did that song. And I said, well, let me see if I can mess with it. And I did a little video of the song. And he gave me permission to do it.
Mm-hmm.
He sold, 1,200 singles on that because he thanked me for it.
Oh, that's good.
And you know, I've been doing that. And there's new activity. And I had a talk with Ellen 2 days ago, because basically, to be honest with you, I got really bored talking about politics. I got bored, man. I got bored talking about COVID. I got bored talking about politics. I started using my energies to be creative. I didn't even want to talk about it anymore. Nothing's going to change. I just didn't want to talk about it. And But I do want to ask you this as friend and brother to brother, because I do consider you my brother. How old is your son? How old is your son?
My son, he's 11. He's 11 years
he's
old.
He's 11. Are we talking tackle football or are we talking flag football?
On the business card that he gave, let me see if I can find it. So I won't just say the wrong thing. Okay.
It's okay.
So on the business card it says tackle football training, flag football training, wrestling and conditioning, and then personal training. And so, you know, he's gonna be doing it all, you know. And so, and then I told him, I said, you're at that age now where you can actually exercise. You know, you can't go in the gym and lift heavy weights or anything like that. But you can, you know, do your push-ups and your sit-ups and whatnot, you know, and, you know, do a little cardio here and there, you know. And so I told my son, I said, what you learn here, you can use this to grow. And then once you get in, like, high school, I said, you can probably go out for the football team and who knows, you know. And I told my son, I said, you run pretty damn fast. I said, you run pretty damn fast. I said, but I said, I said, but just don't ever try anything sneaky because I'll chase you. but yeah, he runs pretty damn fast, you know what I mean? I told him, I said, if you can work on, you know, somebody throwing a ball to you and you catch and you get to run, I said, you'll be one of the best damn players, you know? I said, so you got the speed, you know what I mean? But that's what it is, you know?
Well, as a player, young,
yeah,
high school, college,
uh-huh,
and almost in a pro, I'm just going to give you some information because you're my brother.
Yeah.
I think, and some other football players, NFL football players feel the same way. They don't want their sons to play football till high school. He's going to get injured. And there's a good chance of him getting brain injury that young because they're just doing the studies now. I would not recommend it. I would not recommend it at all. I'm just saying brother to brother. I'm just talking to you brother to brother.
I'm just saying
kids, I would say this to any parent who's thinking about, there's flag football that's going out right now, do the same thing, and people love it. They're switching the flag. But this contact sport with young kids are getting hurt so bad. And, I mean, broken arms. And there's some injuries that they're going to have when they get into high school. I'm just saying you might want to look into it, Google, you know, injuries, you know, youth football injuries.
I just heard the ambulance coming in the background.
Exactly. They're waiting for me to go outside so I can But I would Google it, get some information. I wish him the best. I love your kids. And if there's any football advice that you want to ask me that I can give, I will. I think football is a great sport. I just think that kids are getting injured too early. That's my own thing.
That's what I was worried about, too. And then I'm like, I mean, I don't know. I guess, you know, it depends, you know. Like, I know mm-hmm. some of the kids that I know, like a buddy of mine, his son used to play football when he was around my son's age, and, you know, I would go watch him play.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I didn't really think it was that bad, but, like, as you get older, like in high school and stuff, then, you know, it's a little bit more muscle and hustle to it, you know what I mean? And, you know, but I'm gonna keep my eye open, you know what I mean? Because I was worried, though. I was like, damn.
Yeah, please do.
I was like, what if he hurt himself, you know? And
right.
But,
I guess with crowds, you know, crowds of 5,000, whatever. I was sophomore. I thought football was fun, you know. It was back in the day. It was fun, and then I was I didn't take it seriously, but I was a running back, and this guy in front of me, okay, he got injured. I go, everybody going, oh, damn, he got injured. And he was 15. And I go, what a shame. And then the ambulance came, and he got such an injury in his spinal cord that the doctor says if he just gets tapped or hit one more time, he will be paralyzed for the rest of his life. Now, that injury happened when he was 15 playing football. So we're hearing this, and the doctor says, you know, and the ambulance took this 15-year-old boy away, and the game started, and the coach yelled, Jackson. I go, you got to be kidding me. You just see what happened to this guy? Get in there. Are you kidding? Coach, are you serious? I mean, why don't we let everybody calm down? Get your ass in there. You know what I mean? And the injury that I had at a junior, I was a junior. So a junior, 16 and a half, whatever. Like Friday Night Lights, running the ball, did great. I was up there hot-dogging, and I was doing the shuffle. Guy hit me. I looked down at my wrist. I'm going, why is my bone sticking out of my wrist? My bone was sticking straight out of my skin. There was blood on my bone. I'm going, what's it doing there? And I realize, oh, shit, I'm hurt. I go to the sideline. I go, hey, coach, look, my bone is sticking out of my arm. Do you think maybe I should sit down and sit this out or go to the hospital? He looked at me. He goes, look, man, pussy. He grabbed my wrist, and he pushed the bone back in my skin. He pushed it in. It was, I remember, excruciating pain. He goes,
oh,
there.
Oh, shit.
And then he wrapped it. He goes, get back in there. I go, okay. I'm just saying that, first thing I would do is go to the meetings,
okay,
talk to people who have sons playing football. If this guy has a football camp, go to the football camp, talk to the parents. And then get your own information. You know what I mean? I'm not going to discourage anything like that. I'm just saying you should know the other side, too.
Oh, you're right, though. I mean, I was discouraged anyway because I told my son, I said, you know, to me, you're kind of small, but then it's like, shit, I look at some of the other kids and they're tinier than him. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know what, maybe, you know, so I just kind of said, damn, I don't know. But like I told him, I said, you know, I don't want to have you cooped up in the house. You know what I mean? I want you to be active. I want you to play sports, you know?
Sure.
I said, but when playing sports, you have to be careful, you know? And so, because I know after he does this, you know, he says he wants to play soccer, you know?
There
and
you
so,
go. There
you know,
you
he,
go.
He says he wants to play soccer and stuff. And so, you know, I said, you know, if you want to do that, that's fine, you know? We just have to find you a good soccer team out here and go from there, you know? And, and then for my girls. You know, I told them, I said, you know, I told them if they do good the rest of this year, I said, the beginning of next year, I'll go to this boxing place that they just built and they work with kids. I told my daughters, Julie and Patricia, I said, look, I'll put you guys in a boxing class. And I told them, I said, you know, you girls are getting older. And I said, you know, the older you get, you're going to always run into an asshole. You're going to run into somebody that's going to want to try to hit on you because, you know, they think you may be weak or something.
Right.
And I said, I want you girls to know how to defend yourself, you know? And I said, I want y'all to know how to defend yourself. And I said, then too, you know, these boys nowadays, it's like if they can't have you, they'll do whatever, you know what I mean? You know, and I told them, I said, I want you guys to know how to fight, you know? And so I said, that doesn't mean go to school and, you know, fighting for the hell of it. But I said, no, you use this when you need to, you know? And so, and then I told all three of them, I said, after we do that, then I'm going to find a performing arts organization for children. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to put my girls in that because Patricia, she loves to sing, and then Julia, she loves to draw, and then my son, you know, he loves to dance and, you know, play, you know, he wants to play the drums and all that stuff, you know what I mean? And so I said, you know, that's what the performing arts organization is about. I said, you can go there, you can do that kind of stuff, as well as be taught how to do it correctly, you know? And so, you know, so I'm looking forward to getting them into that kind of stuff, you know, because I told them, I said, you know, even though things may not work out the way we want them, I said, just know that when there's a will, there's a way. And that I told them, I said, all these things that you guys want to do, they have resources where we can get help with that, you know? And I told him I didn't know anything about that stuff, you know. I didn't even know that stuff was here in Phoenix, you know, like the Performing Arts Organization. And, you know, just last week when I Googled it last week, I said, oh, wow, you know. And I said, okay, I used to ride past this place, you know. I didn't know it was, you know. But so, yeah, I'm looking forward to just getting them active and, you know. And then I even found one of the performing arts for children – has a it's like an on stage acting thing or whatever it is, and I said, you know what, I'm like, you know, I would like for all of them to be in that because, you know, they can get a little bit of practice of acting and stuff, and who knows, you know, who knows what happens. So But yeah, I'm looking forward to it all, you know what I mean? But right now, you know, I do want my son to play sports, and it has
sure
ran across my mind. But I said, you know what? I said, you know, if he wants to do it, I'm going to let him do it. You know, he just got to be willing to listen
sure
and know what to look out for on that field, you know? So
I think sports are great for young.
You know,
I think mm-hmm.
You know a movie that I told my son about. I told him this weekend we're gonna watch the movie Gridiron Gang, the one that has it has your cousin in it, then it has The Rock, then it has Exhibit. I told him, cause that's one of my favorite movies, and I told him I said in that movie, when The Rock comes out with the equipment on, and he calls out Mayweather, I said he, or Weather, whatever, I forgot the boy's name in that movie, but I said when he called his name out because he was trying to show that boy that you're much stronger than you think, and that when the players are coming at you, you can use your body, your full body muscle or whatever, and you can knock them out. Off, you know, and so,
right.
You know, I told him, you can take some notes from this movie, and I said, we can also, you know, practice that, you know what I mean? So what I want to try to do is, I know they sell them at some of these sporting goods places, but I want to get one of those big mats or whatever you call it, and I want to stand in front of it. And I want my son to practice running into it, see if he can at least knock me down, you know.
Right.
But yeah, it's just the proper training, you know. And I think the problem is, you know, some of these coaches when they get to training these children, they don't train them properly, you know what I mean? They just tell them get the ball, come on, go, you know. They don't want
right.
to, you know. So.
Right.
So, but I know when
it...
this coach does call me, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's important to get your kids involved in sports and activities. I really do.
Oh, yeah.
It teaches
oh, yeah.
kids discipline. It teaches them
yeah.
about sportsmanship.
Yeah.
It teaches them about social, being social and interacting with others instead of being locked in. I think it's important.
Oh, yeah.
It really is. I think you're doing a great
oh, yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
Like I said, any time that I played it as a child and I lived it as an adult, and in fact, I got my other cousin. You're talking about Omari Hardwick in the movie Gridiron, and my other cousin George Atkinson with the Raiders. And if you look at George Atkinson and the Raiders, you'll see that again. He was the meanest son of a bitch on the football field. I'll have him come on. He's going to be coming on, and we'll talk about what's going on here. And, and your son could ask him questions. He's a legendary Raider.
Yeah.
Maybe we get a football sign for him and a poster. How's that?
Yeah. Oh yeah, that'd be he'll like that too, you know. And you know the funny thing is, my son, he used to, you know, be a little scared, and then he would have questions because he'd be like, you know, I'm too small, I don't think I can do it. And then you know, when he started learning how to, you know, I think it was flag football, at school they would play. And so when he was doing that, he was like, you know, he started getting a liking to it and having a liking to it. And he, you know, he told me, he was like, Dad, I want to play football. And I said, for real? And I said, you sure you ain't too small? And then I got to thinking about it, and I said, he's growing, you know what I mean? I said, dang. I said, I got to thinking about it, and I said, what if he actually takes this on, you know what I mean? And, I mean, you know, because
why not?
I just said, well, you know, so I told him, I said, let's go for it. So, you know, I'm looking forward to this coach calling me back, you know what I mean? I'm going to tell him, you know, if you need some extra hands or need extra coach, you know what I mean? I'm there, you know, so.
Oh, that's cool.
But
it's cool.
It is cool. It's cool. I'm like, wow, my son about to be playing football pretty soon. So,
Well, you know, anytime I'm there for him, if he wants to ask some questions or something like that, you know, you're good. I know you're good. Daddy's always there. Yeah. He's the best. But if
I definitely
needs
do,
a second.
I'm going to keep that in mind. When he comes home later, I tell him, you know, and,
good.
And then if he does, I send you a text and, you know, set up, you know, a day to call you or something,
I would,
you know.
I would talk to him. I would only talk to him when there's three of us on the phone. You would have to be there, the parent. I'm a strong believer.
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
And when you're saying that the parent must be there, whether it's just to translate to what the kid could understand or there's no misunderstanding, you know what I mean? I'm a firm believer about always involving the parent in any kind of talk or in sports, especially when they're that
young.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So. The
only thing is, I got to get me a special jersey made that says Water Boy, and I'm going to be the Water Boy. you got a wooden
spoon. Embarrass or something like that. Oh, that's funny.
The kids
that
be
is
like,
funny.
Kids be like, hey, David, who's dad is that? Please. Please, that's my dad. Please, please, don't make fun of me.
Oh, man. That'll make him the meanest guy on the football field because he'll be kicking some people's ass.
Yeah.
Don't be talking about my daddy like that, and he'll be kicking ass.
Right?
My cousin, George Atkinson, was not a big guy. He was only 5'10", 5'11". So when you're saying size, my cousin was not that big. So don't let size fool you. It's how you use your body and how you use your talent.
Yeah.
So.
That's right. And that's what I kept telling myself, and I was telling my son, too. I said, you know, when I look at, like, for an example, Patrick Mahomes, he's a small kid, you know what I mean? But it's how you use it. And so, you know.
That's how you use
it? Yeah, he's short, you know. And so, you know, I got to looking at it and I said, you know what, it may not be so bad after all. It just depends on how you're training and, you know, so, but yeah, I'm looking forward to it, man.
Drew Brees was only 5'10", 5'11", the quarterback for the Saints, I think. He was not a tall guy. He was a short guy. Drew Brees. And that brings us to Gruden.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. There's some good players.
Yeah.
It's how you use your strength and how you use your thing.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, we're doing,
right.
So Gruden's under fire, a Raider coach, and he was under fire. And and he was under fire for saying some shit that upset some people. He's a Raider, and you heard me play how Raiders think. I was in the locker room how Raiders think. I heard how John Madden talks. This is what you do. And I'm sick and tired of the minority pussies out there who are complaining about reality. And excuse my language, I have to say this, King.
Yeah.
Football is a contact sport. Karate is a contact sport. Any sport, soccer, is a contact sport.
Yeah.
Any sport that they tell you, they don't tell you to go out there and be nice. They don't say that. They're telling the kids, go out there, growl like an animal, and kick some ass. And you have to have that mentality. Because if you don't kick some ass, you're getting your ass kicked. It's the rule.
Yeah.
You may not like it because I'm telling you on the reels. You may think you want me to talk to you like some pussy and everything kumbaya. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't. So Gruden is being attacked for saying shit as a Raider. So he called this guy, he's a black guy, he's the head of the NFLPA. He was in administration in a union at the NFL. And he said that Gruden didn't like him. Gruden is the coach of the Raider, former coach of the Raider. So he said to this guy, he had lips the size of Michelin tires. He had big lips. He called him rubber lips. That's what he called him.
Yeah.
Now the guy happened to be black, and I'm looking at the guy's lips, and they are big. Hey, I hate to tell y'all. I hate to tell you white people. We have big lips, and we have big asses. And you know what? We love our lips and we love our asses. And some of you white people are paying a lot of money to get our lips and to get our asses. That's just a fact. You guys will go to the plastic surgery and get those lip, what are those lip things that you get big, puffy, beautiful lips that we already have. And then you and the Kardashians will get ass implants. I have never heard of this in my life. Ass implants. Okay. Yeah. You guys are paying a lot of money to get those pouty, big lips that we already have. Gruden says, I don't like this guy because he has a lips the size of a Michelin tire. Big lips. I'm looking at the dude. He does have big lips. He has big lips. Wow. Okay. Oh, hell broke loose here. They started calling him a racist now. Gruden says, I don't like the guy. He has big lips the size of Michelin tires. Okay. So now white people got upset and started saying, I mean, black people got upset. And black people got upset saying he's racist. Black people said that's racist. What? Because he's a white dude and he said the guy had big lips. Black people are honest and say he's a racist. Nigga, please. Stop it. Stop it. Damn. Stop it. I got big lips. I got big lips, and I love my lips. I got big lips. I got a big ass. Love it. So if somebody says, well, you know, Brian, what happens if Brian got a big nose or Brian got a hawk nose or Brian got big lips or Brian got a big ass, all of a sudden I'm going to cry because you're a white dude saying it's racist, and that's why the guy loses his job? He's a freaking Raider. Stop it. Well, he didn't stop there.
No, but
you guys lost your
– I thought
– yeah.
I thought it was because of some emails they found.
This was what they were in the emails. That was in the emails that he wrote in emails that the dude had big lips, like size of Michelin. This was in the emails.
Oh, wow.
And another thing was in the – oh, here's another thing that pissed him off. So these are all in the emails.
Oh, shit.
And then it says – and then it says Gruden said he wasn't a racist, and Gruden was not a racist. Gruden was not a racist. I'm telling you now. He's not – three-quarters of the team is black. Gruden is not a racist, and I know that for a fact. I had a conversation with my cousin, George Atkinson, about a week ago, and we were talking.
Yeah.
He was talking about things I cannot talk about, but he was also very fond of Gruden.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the New York Times reported that, and there was other shit in the emails that Gruden sent, okay? It was like... and this warranted an investigation. You said a black man has big lips, so now they're going to start an investigation. Really? Nobody noticed our lips before? All of a sudden somebody pointed out, okay, there's an investigation here. You're calling out black people. Okay. And so here's another investigation. So he used an anti-gay slur. He referred to the NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell, as a fat fag. As a faggot. He called him a faggot. Do you realize what the Raiders call? He's a Raider, motherfucker. So you called the commissioner a faggot, and now you're upset. He called him a faggot, and get this, and a clueless pussy. He called him a faggot and a pussy. Now they want this man's job, and he has to apologize for that. Are you freaking kidding me? Are you freaking kidding me? Calling a guy with big lips, a faggot, and a pussy, and you're going to fire this man's job. You're going to call him a racist, and then you're going to call him anti-gay. This is the society, the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. They use worse language than that. So you're that sensitive.
Wow.
So now the gay community got their panties in a bunch. Black people got their panic. They got their panties in a bunch, saying, "Oh, a white man says that we got big lips." Really? This is what's happening here. So anyway, he called him a clueless football pussy. Gruden said in an email that Goodell shouldn't have pressured the St. Louis Rams coach Jeff Fisher to draft queers. He called gay people queers. He called them queers. Now, he was referring to that guy who claimed that he, the guy who outed himself in football, the first gay, open gay football player. So Gruden called him a queer. Well, let me look into this. Doesn't that what LGBT stand for? Lesbian, bisexual, and have queers in there? Isn't that what it is? Q. LBGQ. Q stands for queers. It's right there. It's right there in a sentence. Lesbian, gay, queers. It says it right there. So Gruden called him a queer. Now they want his job. The gay people are up in arms, their little panties in a bunch. He's a football coach, and he called him a queer. What the fuck? Are you kidding me? And some of these emails were over 10 years, by the way. Over 10 years.
Yeah.
So he called the guy a queer, and they want his job, King. You know, and listen, I think here it is. So now he has to apologize for this bullshit. He has to apologize. I am very sorry that I upset you. And I apologize to Mr. Smith for saying that he has big lips like Michelin tires. And I should never have said queer. Are you freaking kidding me? Here's this apology. This is pathetic in our society. Here's this apology. I'll wait till the commercial goes. Are we that sensitive in our society that we can... What about his rights of free speech? Here's Gruden apologizing.
Raiders head coach John Gruden addressed an email he sent 10 years ago that reportedly used racial imagery to describe Dean Maurice...
10 years ago.
...Players Association.
All I can say is I'm not a racist. I don't, I can't tell you how sick I am. I apologize again to D. Smith, but I feel good about who I am and what I've done my entire life. And I apologize for the insensitive remarks. I had I had no racial intentions with those remarks at all.
Raiders players were also asked about the email today.
He was very honest and upright with us before. You're going to have to help me on the day, but before that article came out, the morning before that article, we didn't even know about the article. He just told us exactly what he said in that email. When we left that meeting, it was like, dang, that, you know, that sucks, man. He probably regrets it. You know, he told us, like, men learn from my mistake, you know.
I've been around this guy for 3 years now. I've never felt a certain type of way about him. You know what I'm saying? He's never rubbed me a certain way, like that type of way. I mean, what he said was what he said at the end of the day too. But I mean, I definitely trust him. And I mean, man, it was 10 years ago. I mean, people grow.
Yeah. He said 10 years.
The NFL has not announced any disciplinary action against Gruden.
Really?
The coach says he has not heard from the league since the email came to
him. So you got to discipline the man by calling somebody a queer and another guy has big lips. What the fuck is happening to our society, man? What is going on? You know, this pussy society that we have that we can't even speak. You know what's wrong with this society? We let the other people speak, and we're silent. We can't say anything about transgender. We can't say anything about queers and homosexuals and fags and so on and so forth. Ooh, that's wrong. So we're going to punish you. Hey, I'll speak it. You want to take my show? Fuck you. This is who we are. This is how we talk. And if you're allowed to be a queer and a homosexual and a panty sniffer, fine, that's up to you. But I'm allowed to speak who I am. And I'm allowed to say if I want to call somebody a queer, a fag, or whatever, they're allowed to call me nigga, stupid, dumb, loudmouth, an idiot. And it's all communication. It's what it is. We cannot stop this. We should not. So anyway, the New York Times reported this about, because this was Gruden's email. He criticized the hiring of women as referees, also the acceptance of players protesting for racial justice. He didn't like people protesting with one knee during the national anthem. Gruden also exchanged photos of topless women with Allen, including one of WFT's cheerleaders. Why not? What, you're going to punish the man for sharing topless pictures of women? You're going to punish him for being a dude? It's not his fault. How about the woman who posed topless? What are we supposed to do, look away? She's showing us her tits. We're going to see her tits. Hey, if I got a nice pair of tits, I'll tell you right now, 1 minute, they will be in King's inbox on Facebook in 2 seconds. Look at this. What are you going to stop us being men? Now you're going to punish him? You're going to throw in that he shared topless pictures of women? Are you fucking kidding me? You're trying to stop who we are, of the few of who they want to be. I want to be a woman. I want to be a man. Don't. Oh, and, you know, I was listening to the show. I was listening to the TV the other day. And Target, what they do is they have a gender section in the store where boys and girls can go there and they don't have to be pressured being a boy and girl. It's called a gender neutral aisle. I think it's in Target and Walmart, that the little boys and little girls can go into an aisle and it's gender neutral, and they can pick out toys that doesn't have to be a boy or have to be a girl. Are you fucking kidding me? And we got to this part, and California made it a law that you have to have a gender-neutral aisle. We have to have a gender bathroom. This is where
That's
we're
crazy.
Going with this. It is.
Yeah, yeah.
It's nuts.
I mean, it's totally sad, man. It's totally sad because it's sad because, y'all can say it. It's sad because when I take my kids to school, sometimes you can hear the things that kids will say, you know, and it's horrible. And so I've had to tell my kids, I said, look, you let those kids do what they want to do, be who they want to be. I said, you just be nice and polite, okay? I said, because last thing you want to do is ruin your reputation all because of you wanted to follow after the next kid. So I told him, I said, you just be nice and polite. So now I seen this one kid. She has her hair cut like a boy. You know, she's I don't know if she's white or Chicano or what, but she has her hair cut like a boy. Mm-hmm. And she came up to me a couple of weeks ago and she was like, "Oh, I think your son is right over there or something." And I said, I promise to God I did not mean any harm. But I said, "Oh, thank you, young man." And I said, "Oops." And so I felt bad because when I said that, my son was walking up to me, and he wasn't thinking of nothing of it. He was like, "Daddy, that's a girl." I said, "Well, thank you for saying that out loud, boy." You know? And so I said, "Wait a minute, that is?" He said, "Yeah, Dad, she's got the chi-chis." You know, he was saying chi-chis as a chick, you know. And I said, "Oh, snap." And I said, "Wait a minute, that's a girl?" I said, "You know, this whole time I thought it was a boy." And I said, and for a while, I thought it was funny, but then I kind of got a little upset because I said, "You know what?" I said, "It's sad because if that's the way they want to be recognized, then that's
right.
This is a fucked up world, man. You know."
Yeah.
So I just had to teach my kids, and I told them, I said, "You know, we can't always say that girl is doing this or that boy is doing this. I say just better just call them by their name now. You know.
Right.
And it just, I just don't understand." You know, like, why they're pushing that so hard on the, you know, me personally, it don't really matter to me. Just don't push it on my kids or, you know, any other kids that I know. But, you know, it's sad. It's sad, you know what I mean? But, hey, I know, hey, ain't none of that going up in my house, you know. My kids are too smart for that, so.
Exactly. See, I think mentally ill parents are the reason. If you have some girl come home at 8 years old and say this, and the parents encourage this, yes, you're a boy. We're going to call you Bobby now. Your name was Barbara. So we're going to enable you and do this shit and buy you clothes that look like a boy. You know, I think that's the problem. What do you think, King? I don't know. I'm just looking at this.
Well, I can't really agree or disagree. You know what I mean? I think it's yes and no. But I also feel that parents I also feel like everybody is not wanting to tell the truth anymore. Nobody's
right.
on the same page anymore. Everybody's being
right.
misled. And so it causes a bunch of confusion. And as long as stuff can be verified, as someone said this or someone said that, then that's
right.
the route they go, you know. And so it's just really hard to say, you know. And then, too, I've heard somebody say, well, you know, in the New Testament, the Bible, it says this and it says that, and we can be this. I'm like, really? And so, you know, I don't know. Then you got to think about it, too. A lot of these churches nowadays, they're
right.
allowing it. You know what I mean? They're pushing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
These new churches who don't even know God, you know, that are popping
right.
up everywhere, they're pushing that stuff. You got the Pope pushing that stuff. I mean, you know, it's a lot of it being pushed. And so, like I say, now you got these parents, they're like, well, you know what? You know, a lot of the parents, they don't even want to think for themselves anymore. They'd rather just get online and look at it, and if they see it online, they'd be like, oh, well, it's true. Well, you know what, honey, you can
right.
be Billy if you want to be Billy. Come on. Yeah, come
right.
on. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I tell you what, we're going to Hollywood. We get your tits chopped off, and you have a chest just like your dad. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, and then.
I agree.
Then they don't realize, that they're going to be held accountable when it's time for them to meet God. They're going to be held accountable because they didn't raise their child up in the way that they should go. You know what I mean?
Right.
You think raising your child up to be another gender is the way to go? No, it's not. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can say when it comes to medical problems and stuff, now I do agree sometimes you do have children that are born that should
mm-hmm.
be a female but end up being a male. So, you know,
right.
it's you know, I can understand that, but you come out as a regular human being, and then just one day you wake up and you say, you know what, I want to be this, I want to be that. You know, it just kind of hurts me because you got some parents, they really don't want to take the time out to find out why the child is wanting to be that way. They just want to say,
exactly.
oh, well, you want to be the way you're going right ahead. It's like, wait a minute, are you being a parent or are you being a friend? You know what I mean? So,
right. exactly.
you know, I'm telling you, man, this parents and stuff nowadays is so different, you know, so different.
It's hard. I don't have children. I am around grandchildren and who are female. They ask me questions all the time.
Yeah.
And it's a different world. It's a total different world than what I lived in. And I'm not joking to what they're living in right now. Total different rules, lifestyle, choices than what I had as a kid. I can only reference of how I grew up. But I do know mental illness and that children will ask you for guidance. And if you don't have the answer to their questions, they'll
yep.
get it from somebody else. And asking you for
oh,
guidance
yeah.
and you don't have a clue, that kid will be lost.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's the reason why
before, you know, like when last year came, you know, we had stopped
right.
going to church and all that kind of stuff, and then there was other things going on. I told my kids, I said, if we have to, we'll go back to my old church because at least they work with
mm-hmm.
the children. They don't put all that false
mm-hmm.
information out, you know. And I
right.
told them, I said, at least you guys will be taught, you know what I mean. So that's the way when something is mentioned, then you will already
right.
know what's going on. You can keep it to yourself, I said, but you would already know what's going on. You know, because you got people, man, they'll throw anything out there. And then if that child comes and asks, well, why does this say this? They'll say, well, you know
mm-hmm.
what? It's because that's the way things are going right now. You know, no, that's not the answer you give them. You know what I mean? So, yeah. Well, what was you about to say?
Well, it's just, I guess, the new questions and new things that are going on. Just listen to your child. And if you don't have
yeah.
the answer,
oh, yeah.
make sure you keep your family values, and
uh-huh.
some of these parents are having children that when they look where the kids looking for the answers, the parents don't have a clue, and they just go with
yeah.
society and let Facebook raise their children. I don't
yeah.
know, but
when we come
And it's funny because it's funny because last year when the kids were going to school before they stopped it, I remember one of my kids came home and was like, "Daddy, so-and-so went to the girls' restroom and when using, they came back out." And I was like, "Really?" And then I was like, And so they started asking me all these different questions. And then then like about a month or two ago, they was like, "Daddy, this boy comes to school and he be smacking other boys on the butts, and him and the other boy would go in the bathroom and they'd be kissing and all this other stuff." And I said, "Really?" And I said, "Oh, no, shit."
Yeah.
And so I told my son, I said, "Well, this is what's going on right now." And I said, you know, I said, don't make fun of them or anything like that. I said, because they probably don't even know what they're doing. You know, they're probably not being told what they need to be told. I said, so don't make fun of them. And I said, and you just, you know, keep your distance away from them so, you know, won't nothing happen. You know, I said, because normally in that situation, you know, they'll try to start their own little, you know, team or whatever they call, you know, whatever.
Right.
So my son, you just make sure you stay away. And I said, it's sad, but just try to stay away from that, you know. If they ever approach you with that, then you need to go tell the teacher or some, principal or something, you know. I said, because that should not be happening at school right now, you know. And the sad part about it is, man, with I believe in the next 5 years, school, there'll probably be no such thing as school anymore because so much is going to change, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And then I believe.
Oh, yeah.
And then I believe, and then I also believe by the year 2027, I believe it's going to be so, it's going to be a lot less of humans walking around, you know, because they're already planning to put out more diseases and everything. I can't tell y'all what to do, but all I can tell y'all is if you're not following Bill Gates, you better follow him and the different platforms and the different stuff that he does because he exposes a lot of stuff, you know, and I just don't think I just don't think by the year 2027, I don't think a lot of us will be living. You know what I mean? Because they're already working on exterminating us. They're it's so scary. And then these schools nowadays, they've been they've been changing the school policy now, like the rules and stuff. I mean, it's not even any rules at school anymore. You know what I mean? It's so. So bad now, you know.
It is horrible. But you know what? Hearing us talk about this, we sound like our parents because they said the same thing about us, right? These kids in this school, they probably said the same. They said the same thing about us.
Oh,
they're listening to that music in that bathroom, and they're running around smoking that crack. And they're probably, the parents probably said the same thing about us. But you know, it all works out. Trust me. It works out, and we tend to adapt. Human beings do, and we tend to survive, and it will work out. And when we come back, what did Dave Chappelle said? That got people so pissed off. You're not going to believe what happened. Dave Chappelle is a black comedian. I love Dave Chappelle. Well, he happened to said something. Dave Chappelle happened to say something that upset the gay community. What the fuck did Dave Chappelle say that upset the gay community? And we'll be right back. I want you to listen to this great artist. I really respect him. I love this man. Get the album, support him, and we'll be right back with more Brian the Hammer Jackson. Here's King Webb. I don't give a damn. We'll be right back.
I don't give a damn. If any of you motherfuckers talk to me or not. Okay. Now I don't give a damn if y'all don't fuck with me. Y'all busters don't know why stay. Now I don't give a damn if y'all don't fuck with me. You gotta stay focused, your fam got it. Now I don't give a damn if y'all don't fuck with me. I'm setting these goals and damn it, I don't need it. Now I don't give a damn if y'all don't fuck with me.
If y'all don't fuck with me, if y'all don't fuck with me.
Y'all fuck boys making no noise. You talk toys cause you talk talent. Sometimes I get up on my hand up. I disregard you and that's enough. And it's rough, your blood from the cold shoulder. You really think that I care? I've been riding in dolo. Still looking for the promo. And you know that it's pyro. Technics, but technically my ethics be right aligned where it's supposed to be. Trying to get these groceries for the kids and the families to get off these. Only use my needs for the Lord who created me. And it is with no beast. Got a statue throwing that beast woman Velveeta. I don't need a real hard security shade in Latina. Sit with a Nina. Or even a diva. I'm doing the skeezers. They're not sick. Can I keep that BS away? Y'all trying to run pockets like TSA. Then look for the world rate like a mediate. Y'all fools ain't gonna play me like a mediate. That's the NBA with the 2K. That's why I'm out like a suitcase. You don't want to flip a win like a toupee. And I be on that bullet that gourmet souffle. And I might seem strange, but I don't throw shade. And I'll get what I owe someday. Let's win another old world way. But just for today, this is what I'm gonna say.
Now I don't give a damn if y'all don't fuck with me. Y'all busters don't know why stay shit. Now I don't give a damn if y'all don't fuck with me. You gotta stay focused, just fans gotta. Now I don't give a damn if y'all don't fuck with me. I'm setting these goals and damn it, I don't need it. Now I don't give a damn if y'all don't fuck with me. If y'all don't fuck with me. If y'all don't fuck with me.
My past back there going kiss mad. There's no more drama with my dad. Long time and no see. Too bad. Wanna bring my family together. I'm like, fuck it. Whatever now. Thanks for turning your back on me. Making and shaking. Thought my problems was baking. Bunch of fucking pretty with no revelation. Haters still hating with their low education. Screw what you heard. Ain't salvation. Rich motherfuckers stay fucking up the nation. You ain't gotta fuck with red, yo. Rapping talking shit. Yeah, I know. Get my feeling on me. Damn, bro. Last night we was sipping that wine, though. Got a problem with me, then step up. If not, don't waste your breath, bruh. You fuck the rep, not rep, man. Doing six dubs, we doing a damn thing. Changing places, I need that space, staying educated. Hitting all bases, it's time to do what I feel for you. So fuck, see y'all finna let you through. If I get stacks on stacks, don't send me with your 360 contract stack. One this, two this, or excuse me, miss. Rappers nowadays look diss and snitch, keep my name out your mouth. Let's be rich, or just be hella fake. Kissing like a snake, greeting with a smile and a handshake. That shit bitch made.
Now I don't give a damn if y'all don't fuck with me. Y'all busters don't know why stay shit. Now I don't give a damn if y'all don't fuck with me. You gotta stay focused, just fam got it. Now I don't give a damn if y'all don't fuck with me. I'm setting these goals and damn it, I don't need it. Now I don't give a damn if y'all don't fuck with me. If y'all don't fuck with me. If y'all don't fuck with me.
Shit, all you motherfuckers claiming to fuck with me. Like me, but you don't like me. If y'all don't kill yourself.
Right, dropping it like it's hot. It's a King Web, everybody. One and only King Web. I don't give a damn. Get this single. Support. Be a fan. We got a lot of stuff coming down the pike, and you're gonna love it, Mr. King Web. I don't give a damn. There he is, the artist himself, Mr. King Web. You heard his voice. You heard his music. Family man, God-fearing man, artist, and businessman. Mr. King Webb, there you go, King. I don't give a damn, man.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes, I just want to say hello to all the listeners listening. I appreciate everybody's support right now, you know. You know, that single right there, man, it was to let people know why should you care what people think of you. You know what I mean? You know,
mm-hmm.
like, why should you give a damn? You know what I mean? Those people that are thinking or having whatever negative response to you, whatever they think and whatever negative response they have, it's not going to pay your mm-hmm. bills. It's not going to keep you alive every day, nothing like that. You know what I mean? And so, you know, that song is to let people know, stop giving a damn what people say about you and just keep your head up high, keep your chest stuck out if you're a man, if you're a woman. Keep your head up high and be strong, you know what I mean? And ignore people, you know what I mean? Because so many times, you know, people can say the most shittiest thing to you and it'll upset you, But then you have to ask yourself, is what they saying to me going to matter in 5 years? And sometimes you have to ask yourself. And so, you know, that song is to let people know, stop giving a damn what people say about you or to you or whatever, you know, because it don't matter. And
that's right.
You know, around that time, man, I was dealing with some family issues. I was dealing with an old manager and, you know, other things. So I just put that shit down on paper. And now, you know what I mean? People are listening to it, you know what I mean? So, like I mm-hmm. said, you know, I just had to put that out there, you know what I mean? And so, doing pretty good right now, you know what I mean? So, I can't wait till y'all hear my new stuff, man. This new stuff, what I can say is the new song I am working on, it is a motivational mm-hmm. song. And, you know, that's all I'm going to say. I won't say anything else, but I know it's a motivational song, and I can't wait. I mean, I've only let one person hear it, and that was Latia. Mm-hmm. You know, I let mm-hmm. her hear it one day, and I told mm-hmm. her, I said, this is what it is. And she was like, mm-hmm. okay. So, you know, it's but I can't wait. Well, I got that one, and then I got a few others.
When that's done, I want to debut it on the show. I want to do an interview with King Liv, the artist behind the music.
Definitely.
We are going back to how we used to be. We were the number one show before.
Yes.
We were on the edge. We have musicians. We're going back, and we're new.
Yeah.
And we're also doing it now on Zoom, too. So I'm back, y'all.
Yeah.
So you artists, get ready. You actors, you filmmakers, and a lot of good stories besides politics. Speaking of which, I like Dave Chappelle. He's in trouble. Let me give you a little bit of Dave Chappelle before you guys get all crazy. This is Dave Chappelle, all right? And he's in trouble with the gay community, but with something he said. But this is his act. Listen to Dave Chappelle.
Oh, my God. But there's a more important reason that I would stop doing comedy right now. And this reason is the real reason that's been percolating, and it really is the crowd, not you. I'm talking about the crowd on the big stage. It's too hard to entertain a country whose ears are so brittle. Motherfuckers are so sensitive, the whole country is turned into bitch-ass niggas.
That's a little bit of Dave Chappelle. He's right. We turn into bitch-ass niggas. I said it. And that goes with the story. So here's what happened. Here's the copy. Here's the headline. What did Dave Chappelle say? Here's why the comedian's in hot water, okay? So Dave has a new special on Netflix. And here's the trailer. Here's the trailer. I'm hoping I can play it. Here's the trailer. Well, it's not playing. I'm trying to see if it could play. Hold on.
These country roads is a lot like a meditation. He's deep in thought. This is Dave. He tells jokes for a living. Driving down these country roads is a lot like a meditation. He's deep in thought. Back in the trance. 5 specials in as many years. How do you close a body of work that profound? I couldn't imagine the enormity of the pressure. And then, he looks as if he's about to say something. What could he possibly have left to say?
Will you shut the fuck up, Morgan Freeman?
Sorry. I was just...
It's all right.
That special on Netflix.
I'm going to watch it. Okay. So while he was doing this special, here's what Dave Chappelle said. So he was just joking around. He was doing his comedy thing. And here's why some of the gay people are upset. The copy. Dave Chappelle's no stranger to controversy. Of course not. He has a stand-up special called Closer. It's on Netflix right now. I'm going to watch it. But I guess he upset some people because he used an acronym, TERF. It means trans exclusatory radical feminist. He used that, and especially he's a comedian. Chappelle also defended Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling, who has been accused of being transphobic. That's a word, transphobic. We made it a word. Well, here's what happened. So a lot of people came out, and many have come out against the comedian, including Dear White People. I'll play it on the show, which I thought was genius. Jacqueline Moore and transgender. I guess there's a trans Twitter now. And they wrote something on Twitter. It went viral. Well, here's what Chappelle said. During his Netflix special, he commented that trans women's genitals is not quite what it is and declared himself to be team TERF. He said, gender is a fact. Every human being in this room, every human being Earth, had to pass through the legs of a woman to be on this earth. That's a fact. In the Closer special, Chappelle told a long joke about a fight he had with a lesbian, referring to her as a man throughout the set piece. At the screening of the new show, speaking of attempts to have his special canceled. So the gay community got upset about the joke. They want him off Netflix. They want to cancel his show because of this joke. They want him out. He said, if this is what being is about, I love it. This is not the first time Chappelle has taken aim at the trans community. And in his first Netflix special, he spoke of how trans people hate him for his comments. He has also made jokes in previous shows about R. Kelly abuse survivors. I love Chappelle. I just love Chappelle. There has been many comments about Chappelle's stand-up, including from Jacqueline Moore, showrunner, Dear White People. There's people that says, here's Jacqueline Moore on Twitter referring to Chappelle. I love so many of the people I work with at Netflix, brilliant people, executives who have been great and fought for important art, but I've been thrown against a wall because I'm not a real woman. Now, Jacqueline Moore, what you did not know, was a transgender comedian who is supporting Chappelle for his jokes. She posted a thread on Tweets Online expressing her disappointment at the decision to put out and profit from blatantly and dangerous transphobic content. Moore says, I told the story of my transition for Netflix at Pride Week. It's a network that has been in my home, Dear White People, and I love working there. I will not work with them as long as they continue to put out and profit from blatantly and dangerous transphobic content. So we want, as people, so when he says people should be mad at trans women, he won the Woman of the Year award, and he says he shouldn't have told that mother her daughter was a dude, which King just did. Well, he says he shouldn't have told that mother her daughter was a dude. I can't be part of that company that thinks that worth putting out and celebrating. Bottom line, let's get to where Chappelle. She was expressing how she was crying watching Chappelle's stand-up special. Oh, okay, this is a different woman. So this transgender was crying because Chappelle was doing jokes about transgender people. There's another transgender that's supporting Chappelle, and I made the mistake. This was not the one. So Chappelle said something. It's absolutely As with our talent, we work hard to support their creative freedom, even though that means this is Netflix. There will be content on Netflix some people believe is harmful. Netflix said in a statement to Newsweek, it's absolutely untrue to say that we have suspended any employee for tweeting about this show. Our employees are encouraged to disagree openly, and we support their rights to do so. I'm trying to get to the point. Oh, they're not showing it. Well, the joke is, Chappelle said there was some dude who was a transgender that came up to him, and he pushed him away going, dude, private, where's my space? There's a private space here. Where's my bubble? And that was the joke. It was a joke. And the transgender people got upset and want him, said that he's homophobic, and want him off of Netflix and wants to cancel his show because he upsets the transgender community. All he said was when some transgender dude hugged him, he pushed the dude away and said, look, it's my private space. Back off. And that offended the trans community. So you're telling me Chappelle cannot be a person and he has no right to say back off if you're a different race or color or religion. He's supposed to be an open person that everybody should hug him. He has no rights as a human being. I don't even like straight people hugging me unless I invite them, let alone some trans dude with a beard wearing a dress and wants to be a woman come up and hug me. I don't want that either. Back off, dude. But that got the gay community upset, and they want him off the air. That's what's happening. Can you believe that shit? That's what's happening. He has no rights.
Wow.
Now, if that's going to offend you gay people, here's one of my favorite Chappelle show. I ran it three times, and you know who got mad at me? White people. I got three complaints from white people. Brian, you should not be running that. Brian, that's racist. Brian, this. I said, I thought it was funny. It was disturbing to hear you laugh doing it. This was not funny. And they were white people. Not one black person got upset when I ran this. And it's one of my favorites, and I'm going to run it because I'm going to upset some white people. And it's one of my favorites on Chappelle. The skit is the nigger family, or as Chappelle will say, the nigger family. Now, the skit is funny. You're not going to be able to see it, but the family that he's talking about are white people. They're white people. Their last name has to be nigger. They're white people, and their last names are nigger. And it's taped. And it's like back in time, like in the 1950s, as you see these sitcom shows like Leave It to Beaver and whatever. But again, the white family, their last name is nigga, and this is the skit. And you'll hear some stereotypes in there. So I'm gonna run it to upset some people. Here's Dave Chappelle, the nigga family.
Had another baby. Look at this little bundle of joy.
She's got those nigger lips.
I know. Oh, is Tim still asleep?
I think so.
He sure is one lazy nigger.
Good morning, Mom. Morning, Dad.
Good morning. You know, Tim, we're having a dinner party tonight. I trust you'll be here.
Oh, I can't. I have my first big date with Jenny Halstead.
Jenny has a date tonight with a nigger boy from school.
What? Oh, God, no.
No, Teddy, that's his name, Timmy Nigger.
Oh, of course. That nigger. He's a very good athlete and so well-spoken. That family's going places. I mean, we're rich. They're nigger rich.
Oh, bitch.
Morning, nigger.
Why,
it's
just
that our colored milk fan. And it's my favorite family to deliver milk to. The niggers. Show smells good. You niggas cooking?
We sure are. Get some leftover bacon if you'd like some.
Ooh, not for me.
I know better than to get between a nigga and their paw. I get my fingers bit. Here you go. I hate to bother you about this, but well, you didn't pay your bill last week. And I know how forgetful you niggas are when it comes to paying bills.
Golly, listen, it slipped my mind. Here you go. Sorry about that.
Oh, nigga, please. Nigga, please. Well, take care, Mr. N-Word. I have a hot date with the wife tonight.
All right, take care.
All right, peace, nigga.
Stevenson, party four. Table five, please. Bon appetit. Nigger, party two. Nigger, party two.
Look at here, Jack. Just because we're colored didn't mean we came out here to be disrespected, okay?
We're the nigger family. Oh, hi, Clifton.
Oh, well, hello, little nigger. These are the niggas I was telling you about.
Is you the nigger that broke the bottle over Ronnie Ted at the dice game?
No, not that nigger. The nigger from work, the milk route.
Oh, okay. Have a nice meal.
I bet you'll get the finest table the niggers ever got in this restaurant.
Dinner party face on. Hello.
Well, you must be the wetbacks.
Sanchez, don't call us wetbacks, nigger. We find it offensive. I'm just kidding. We are the wetbacks.
Wait till we tell the Jews.
Oh, you're one crazy nigger.
Oh, man, I love that. Yeah, I would get the calls. Again.
Yo, that is the classic right there.
It is.
Oh, man.
It is. People just got to loosen up. And that goes with our other. So you mean to tell me he does this and he does that's Chappelle, if you never heard of Chappelle. So you mean the gay people are going to get upset because he told a story about a transgender that tried to hug him and he told the transgender to step back, remember his private space and his bubble, and they want to take him off the air on Netflix because the transgender community is pissed off at him? Nigga, please. You know, we got to this society. What's going on? What's going on? And so I'm going to tell you how crazy this world is. Saturday night I'm watching TV, and I forgot that Kim Kardashian was hosting Saturday Night Live. That's right. That's what I said. Kim Kardashian was hosting Saturday Night Live. Well, I went on Twitter, and there's people who want to boycott the show. They wanted to boycott Saturday Night Live because Kim Kardashian was hosting it. Here's the copy. Kim Kardashian, SNL hosting debut, actually boosted the ratings after the worst performing season opener in history, despite fans threatening to boycott the episode. The worst performing season opener in history. Wow. Despite fans threatening to boycott the show. Now, the SNL fans want to boycott the show because Kim Kardashian. What kind of sense is that? I mean, you just don't want to turn off the show. It's not like you're going to watch the show, and you go watch something else. So you're going to watch the show, but then you want to boycott. You want to hurt people again because you do not like the content. This is the society that we have. It's like you don't want to change the channel. You want to hurt someone, you know, and you want to, and this is who we are now. Headline. So in an unlikely event that you missed it, Kim Kardashian hosted Saturday Night Live.
And here it is, and they're making fun of her. And to the surprise of many, she actually did a pretty good job. Okay? Since the show on Saturday, Ken's performance has been fairly well received by audience, which might come as a surprise given that many viewers of the show were not pleased to discover that she would be hosting. In fact, when her hosting gig was announced last month, some fans even threatened to boycott SNL, expressing their disappointment that the beauty mogul was taking on a role typically reserved for actors and comedians. Here's a tweet from somebody named Granny Two Cents. I have watched SNL from its beginning and have never purposely missed an episode until now. I have no desire to watch Kim K do anything. Why, oh why, of all these people to choose from? And here's another one. I mean, I know she's a cultural icon, but SNL has hosts generally who are performers who are there to promote a film, TV show, or album launch. They tweeted Will and Grace actor Deborah Messing in response to the news. Am I missing something? And Deborah Messing said something. She goes, why Kim Kardashian? I mean, I know she is a cultural icon, but SNL has hosts generally who are performers who are there to promote a film, TV show, or album. Am I missing something? Deborah Messing, it's none of your fucking business. What's wrong with you? Who cares? It's SNL. Well, you think they should only have... See, I'm not a Kim Kardashian fan, but why are we bashing Kim Kardashian? This woman's a billionaire, by the way. Here's another tweet. I won't be watching SNL tonight, another fan wrote on Saturday. Kim Kardashian doesn't deserve a second of my time. Your time? Who the hell cares? Change the channel. However, being no stranger to criticism, Kim hit back with a performance that left many viewers pleasantly surprised. I heard it, and you're going to hear it now. I got to say, not a Kim fan, but the jokes were good, and she was confident. Someone tweeted after the show, she pulled it off better than some of us ever seen in years. Now, basically, here's another one. Please see the reality star stepping out of her comfort zone onto the stage. One viewer praised her ability to poke fun of herself. She did an okay job. She's not an actor and everything, but I'm telling you, what I was shocked when she turned around and I saw that ass of hers, I have never seen an ass so big in my life, and it wasn't even, didn't even look like an ass. I don't know what it looked like, but you got to see it. If you didn't see the opening monologue of Kim Kardashian, you got to see it when she turns sideways, because that is not an ass. It doesn't even look like a real ass. I don't know what that was. But that is just plastic surgery that gone wrong. I'm going to try to get it. Let me see. Kim Kardashian hosts an SNL. I'll get it because I know I have it. And you can hear her opening. And now remember, when she did the opening, they helped her. She had Ellen DeGeneres help her. Dave Chappelle helped her. And some other comedians have helped Kim Kardashian pull off the monologue. She wore this pink thing. I don't know what the hell it is. And people were comparing it to Big Bird and making fun of her. Now, we're supposed to be a nice society, but yet we're going to make fun and poke fun at somebody. But as soon as they say gay and lesbian, John Gruden says rubber lips, oh, hell to be paid, right? We're getting really upset. But we could poke fun of everybody else. We could poke fun at everybody else. And that will be our last story. So when we come back, you're going to hear the opening monologue of Kim Kardashian. I don't think she did such a bad job. I really don't. But you're going to hear the monologue of Kim Kardashian. I am Brian the Hammer Jackson, and we have revised the show to move artists forward. If you notice our caption today, we're going to be doing stories about what's going on, what's trending, entertainment, the latest independent artist that's hitting the big screen. We're going back to the roots of Brian the Hammer Jackson Show. Well, my guest here, Mr. King Webb himself, is here in the studio. So when we come back, you're going to hear the dialogue or the monologue of Kim Kardashian. I think she did a good job. I really do.
But the people who are so upset about other people hurting people, those are the people who are hurting people. I mean, we're so busy trying to protect the disabled, the mentally ill, and so on and so forth, then they attack other people, but they're allowed. We got to start waking up in reality here and know what's real and quit being a hypocrite. All right. I was talking about the artist I know as King Webb. I know this gentleman, I guess maybe 3-4 years, I'm not quite sure. I know him as a family man, businessman, man who gives to charity. I've known him as a man who promotes other artists and give artists a chance. I met him through a gentleman, and again, I'm going to be the nicer Brian. You're not going to get the mean Brian anymore. Pastor Don King. Pastor Don King used to come in the studio. He promoted the show, and each week he used to give me a taste of the new artists that are up and coming. Mr. King Webb was one of those artists. And there was 3 artists. Mr. King Webb was one. There was a couple of them I liked too. And I was lucky that Mr. King Webb liked the show and that he stuck around and we became friends. I respect him as an artist and I respect him as the person who he became and I respect him as a family man and I love his kids to death. So maybe I'm biased because I do love the kids. And he did a great job. When we come back, we're going to hear the monologue of Kim Kardashian. But here is Mr. King Webb. Don't get caught in my web, Mr. King Webb.
Shit, he's got caught in the web. You know what I'm saying? It's Web Music Entertainment up in this bitch, you know what I mean? Shout out to my man, Skitty Bell Productions, you know what I'm saying?
So don't get caught in my web, so don't get caught in my web, so don't get caught in my web, I leave you hanging and sweat. So don't get caught in my web, so don't get caught in my web, so don't get caught in my web, I leave you hanging and sweat. So don't get caught in my web, so don't get caught in my web, so don't get caught in my web, I leave you hanging and sweat. So don't get caught in my web, so don't get caught in my web, so don't get caught in my web, I leave you hanging and sweat.
Every time I turn around, I see you fake. Some of them are just sharks. Swim in the lake. I don't give a shit if you running with me or not. Bitch nigga, show your actions on subliminal shot.
Pow!
Loyalty and lies, you a lie, I'm not surprised.
No.
If it wasn't for me, boy, your career wouldn't even rise. Thought you was my friend to the very fucking end. Now the same fucking manager done pissed me off again.
Fuck.
Trying to get my damn label straight and do me. Rise up in the charts, me and SVP.
Yeah.
And all y'all ever do is talk shit on me.
I don't care.
And I don't give a damn, I'ma stay doing me. I'm really starting to hate life, all we do is live and die. God is on my side, so you better know the devil lies. Spotter in the web, catching you motherfucking flies. Jack my 30 bucks with bold, but never wise.
So don't get caught in my web, so don't get caught in my web, so don't get caught in my web, I leave you hanging in the thread. So don't get caught in my web, so don't get caught in my web, so don't get caught in my web, I leave you hanging in the thread. So don't get caught in my web, so don't get caught in my web, so don't get caught in my web, I leave you hanging in the thread. So don't get caught in my web, so don't get caught in my web, so don't get caught in my web, I leave you hanging
in the thread. You vegetarian, but you starting beef. If you feeling froggy, then nigga, you better leave. Fuck that nigga, Lester, nothing big, you're nothing, punk.
You big.
Niggas out here fighting, need to stop it, we'll get stumped. Not out to sell my soul, fuck the money, your fame. Tony fucked me over, but won't mention my name.
Crook.
Doggy dog world, that's the name of the game. Swallow the gas and watch it burn in the flames. Not here to duplicate, just to reiterate, not play a hate. If you wanna learn to take notes and self-educate. Doggy misled by churches, a bitch of TD Jakes. Families are struggling while pastors and deacons out eating steak.
Amen.
So don't get caught in my web, so don't get caught in my web, so don't get caught in my web, I leave you hanging
in the thread. So don't get caught in my web, so don't get caught in my web, so don't get caught in my web, I leave you hanging in the thread. So don't get caught in my web, so don't get caught in my web, so don't get caught in my web, I leave you hanging in the thread. So don't get caught in my web, so don't get caught in my web, so don't get caught in my web,
I leave you hanging in the thread.
The King Web. Caught in my web. One of my favorites, Mr. King Web. Here you go. Support Mr. King Web. Remember the name. Got some new stuff coming down the pike. Gonna love it. I get the perk because maybe once in a while he causes me a bone and I can get a free download. King Web, everybody. Don't get caught in my web. There you go.
There you go. He deserves all the glory. So we're talking about Kim Kardashian in the monologue. I see the time we're getting, and here it is right here. Here's Kim Kardashian. You guys be the judge. Here's Kim Kardashian doing the opening monologue on SNL. Here we go.
Surprised to see me here too. When they asked, I was like, you want me to host? Why? I haven't had a movie premiere in a really long time. I mean, actually, I only had that one movie come out and no one told me it was even premiering. It must have slipped my mom's mind. I'm excited to be here tonight to show you guys that I'm so much more than just a pretty face. And great makeup, and amazing boobs, and a perfect butt. Basically, I'm just so much more than that reference photo my sister showed their plastic surgeon. But the one thing I'm really proud of is that no one could ever call me a gold digger. Honestly, I'm not even sure how you become one. So I asked my mom's boyfriend, Corey. And I know that I'm privileged, which is why I try to give back as much as I can. A real passion of mine is getting wrongly accused people out of jail. And thanks. I think I'm following in my father's footsteps. Now, you know, my father was and still is such an influence and inspiration to me, and I credit him with really opening up my eyes to racial injustice. It's because of him that I met my first black person. Want to take a stab in the dark at who it was? I know it's sort of weird to remember the first black person you met, but OJ does leave a mark. Or several. Or none at all. I still don't know. But listen, I'm an influencer, so I understand that the things that I say carry weight. But, you know, I would never tell anyone what they can or can't do. Remember, I'm a Kim, not a Karen. And honestly, with all of the K names, it's really impressive that my mom didn't pick Karen. I mean, somehow she just knew. I don't know how she saw that one coming and not Caitlin. Now, I know we're divided as a country, but I'd love America to come together, which is why I'm here to announce that I'm running for... I'm just kidding. I'm not running for president. We can't have three failed politicians in one family. I've been very blessed in this life, and I'm grateful for everything. Honestly, all the ups, all the downs. I mean, I married the best rapper of all time. Not only that, he's the richest black man in America, a talented, legit genius who gave me four incredible kids. So, when I divorced him, you have to know it came down to just one thing, his personality. I know that sounds mean, but people keep telling me that comedy comes from truth. And if there's one thing that I always strive to be, it's genuine. So I just want to say how incredibly excited I am to be up here on this stage tonight. I mean, I'm so used to having 360 million followers watching my every move. And I mean, how many people watch SNL? Like 10 million? So tonight is just a chill, intimate night for me. So we have a really great show for you tonight. Halsey is here, so stick around.
I think she did good. I mean, why can't we just compliment people?
Yeah, she did good.
I think she did good.
Yeah.
But on Twitter, man, they tore her ass apart. And this is how mean we are. You know? We got mean.
And I set a show that upset people last week, and I got some, not letters, we don't get letters anymore, but I got some, I got one on a Twitter, I got some on Facebook. I was saying how mean we are. And we're hateful people. We're jealous, vengeful, vindictive people. And I don't know how we got that way. Maybe we hid it for such a long time, and that now, since social media came out, and, you know, when I'm hearing people say, get off of Facebook, Facebook is the reason teenage girls are having an eating disorder, or Facebook is the reason why Donald Trump won. It's like, Facebook didn't do nothing. It's the people who write on Facebook. So if you think Facebook is mean, Facebook is just a platform. It's the people who write on Facebook that are mean. Facebook is not harming your teenage daughter. It's the people who say things on Facebook that's harming your teenage daughter. And if that's harming your teenage daughter, you got to look at yourself as a parent. You got to look at yourself as a parent, because your daughter or son will grow up and they will go into the workforce. They will go to college. And the social media reflects who we are. And if you don't like Facebook because it's mean, you don't like Facebook because of it causes people to have eating disorder, it's not Facebook. It's who we became. This is who we are. We're mean people. And you don't like it? It's true. We are jealous. We're vindictive. We're envious. And we don't want people to succeed. It's the ugly truth. Especially, and King's going to find this out, and I've known this for years. People hate it. My best friends hate it that when they were working in construction, that I was working my way up, and I did acting, and I did modeling, and I did all that. They hated it. It's not that they didn't wish me the best. It's that they didn't want me to be better or leave them and get new friends and live in a life that they worked really hard that they'll never achieve, that I'm achieving. And we have to go back, and this is why I'm going back with my show. I've been on politics for a while, and I've been mean. I've been angry. I mean, I've been disgusting. I've been opinionated. I have upset a lot of Republicans. I have upset a lot of Democrats. I upset a lot of gay people. That's not what I'm about. And I had to think about it. I took a break. And I realized how mean and vengeful I was on the air. And it's not funny. I mean, my platform, since I did it over 12 years, was to move artists forward, was to give positive feedback, was to give information to them so they can succeed, or point them to a direction where somebody can help them. That's who we were. We would talk about what's going on. I would make side jokes, but I wasn't mean with the jokes. And I became a very mean person the last 6 months. And the reason I said it on the air is because it's true. I have to look at who I became and who I am to be better. And a lot of people don't want to see the ugly side of them. I say look at it, because that's you. And if you look at the ugly side of you, the disgusting, the angry side of you that want to cause harm to other people, that's you. And if you look at it, and it's hard to look at. It's hard to look at. It's hard to look at when I walked naked one time. I saw a full-length mirror going, damn, what's that fat ass doing? And I go, shit, that's me. It was hard to look at, I got a stomach. It was hard to look at this. But you know what? I looked at it and I stared at it and I'm working out. I'm just saying, be better. Look at your ugly self. And look what you're printing on Facebook. And look at the mean things you're doing. Look at the stuff that you're hurting people and you could be in a mood. That's no excuses. And look at it and welcome it and be better. And that's what we're doing. We're going back to be better and to be nicer and to support and not to hate and hurt. Thank you for listening. And a good friend, I'm thanking my good friend King Whip, stuck with me during this difficult time of me going to that transition. Some people did not make it. But that's a shame, because we got a lot of good things that we're going to be doing for you artists. I'm telling you, we're going back, baby, and we're making changes. Mr. King Webb was in the studio today. Thank you so much, Mr. King Webb.
You're welcome.
I just want to say I'm want to congratulate you and tell you I'm proud of you, because some
Thank
people,
you.
They don't want to change. They don't want to be original. And you're taking the first step by speaking up as a real man and saying that you want to bring back the way you had it, you know? And so I think
mm-hmm.
that's good, you know? I think it's good.
Thank
I also
you.
Agree with you, you know? You know, for myself, yeah, I'm not going to lie, you know,
mm-hmm.
that when I was going through different things, I would get upset and I would vent on Facebook. Then I got to thinking about it and I said, you know what? I said, who gives a shit? You know what I mean? I mean, some people may care.
Mm-hmm.
Some people may look at it for entertainment or whatever. I said, but who really cares?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then I told myself,
mm-hmm.
I said, I'm getting in contact with more and more famous people. I said, I'm going to watch what I put, because they may use that against me and say, well, you know, I mean, when you put that on there,
right.
well, you know, and so, you know, I stopped doing that now, you know what I mean? Sometimes I may just throw
yeah.
it up there because it's not really much,
mm-hmm.
but I've toned it down a lot. I've stopped doing it, you know
mm-hmm.
what I mean, as much as I can. And so now I don't really,
right.
I don't really be on it that much, you know what I mean? Now I try to put something on there that everybody will like. Like, for an example, if I know you
right.
need some motivation or something, I try to share a video of the sun. Whatever. I mean, like right now, I can't go live on Facebook because I forgot that I had made a comment on it was a newscast or whatever. You know, I said something, and I guess to them it was negative and they didn't like it, so they blocked me. But I think I got a couple
mm-hmm.
more days. But yeah, I'll start back going live again, showing the church service and stuff. You know, but. But yeah, I try to put something on that everybody's gonna like, you know, and you know, I do
right.
watch what I post now because I'm getting at that level where a lot of people are really starting to Google me and research me and all that stuff, and you know, some things you just
mm-hmm.
don't want to put out there because it can make you look bad. So, you know,
right?
Yes, it's different, you know. But I'm just a firm believer. Regardless if you put it on Facebook or not, you know, if you're saying it in person, the word may travel. Who knows? So, but
that's
yeah.
true. That's true. We just, you know, nobody's a perfect person, and we're all human.
Oh, no.
But this
no.
society has gotten
That's right.
mean. I mean, let's just be honest. It's gotten mean. And we just
yeah.
got to go back to quit being mean is not the thing, and hurting people. And
yeah.
we, I mean, human beings are going to piss us off. I'm not saying let's be angelic. But you know what? If somebody pisses you off,
that's
not
right.
worth your time. Let them,
yeah, it's
let
really
them
not.
Drown in their hate and move on.
Yeah.
And be a better person.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try to be a better person.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say I'm going to achieve it. But how it was before,
oh, yeah.
they loved Brian. You know, and
oh, yeah.
he was a champion for the independent artists, and I got
yeah.
off of that, and I had to take a look at myself
yeah.
that I'm not going to be mean. I'm not going to go down that road. I'm not going to turn into that
yeah.
acid, vile person. It's not who I
yeah.
am, and I'm not going to do it for ratings, and I'm not going to do it for anything else, and I'm going to help again. I'm going to be the guy that I help.
Yeah, that's good.
And I like
that's
me that
good.
Way. So we all work on ourselves.
Yeah.
And that's a project, and I'll be working on it. In the meanwhile,
oh yeah.
like I used to say, I'm the best in the business, baby, and I'm going to do everything I
yeah.
can to help independent artists achieve their goals. And that's my goal. That's been a goal
yeah.
for the show.
Oh yeah.
And we're going to do it. King Webb,
yep.
everybody. My brother, my friend, love the man. But most importantly, he's a
yes.
talented guy. Support him. And you guys miss me a lot, but guess what? I'll be on regular again. I'll be on tomorrow at 7 a.m. I'll be right here waiting for you guys.
And
right here.
And guess what? I'm going to start flooding the Facebook
what?
Timeline again with the flyers and all that stuff. Because, see, I've been being
Ooh-wee.
Nice the last couple of months, I haven't been sharing a whole lot. But I'm gonna start flooding again. You know what I mean? See, I was being nice to y'all. No. I'm being nice,
man.
But now I'm gonna start like flooding the timelines and all that stuff. So
right. You know, it's called show business for a reason. Show me, I'll give you the business. Just show me,
right.
And I'll point you to a way where you can get the business. I'm your friend, Brian Hammer Jackson, and that is King Webb, the one and only King Webb. Don't forget to support my friend, my brother, the talented Mr. King Webb. King, anything that you know, my phone is free for you. You know that. You reach me 24/7. You already know that you got my line. You know that. All right, everybody.
I started to call yesterday, and I said, I bet you he's going to be on tomorrow. I said, let's wait and see. and you was on today.
That's right. Yep. I'll be on tomorrow, too. I'll be on tomorrow, I promise you. All right. This is Brian Hammer-Jackson. Thank you, King, man. And give the kids a big hug for me.
Really
love from
me.
I like to say Uncle Brian. Give them the love for me. All right. I'll see you tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, everybody, for listening.
See you tomorrow.
Thank you for sharing, too. Bye, kiddo. Brian Hammer.
What's up, Dallas? What's up? What's up, Dallas? What's up, Dallas? Jump on it. Jump on it. Jump on it. What's up, San Antonio? What's up? What's up, San Antonio? What's up, San Antonio? Jump on it. Jump on it. Jump on it. What's up, Austin? What's up? What's up, Austin? What's up, Austin? Jump on it. Jump on it. Jump on it. What's up, Houston? What's up? What's up, Houston? What's up, Houston? Jump on it. Jump on it. Jump on it. Welcome to the 214 Big D Texas. Let Mr. Texas flex this Lexus, and this is where the Cowboys play. They battle with my team from the Bay, Frisco. Now I'm from the Northwest, but I like my soul food.